The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
All right, here we are, Monday, September 9th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, Philadelphia police are looking for a man who they say attempted to abduct a young woman in broad daylight. The incident was reported by was recorded by a home security camera. The surveillance video actually shows the man violently grab the victim at about 10 a.m. Sunday in the 800 block of North 15th Street in North Philadelphia. The young woman can be heard screaming before the man lets her go and walks away. Neighbors said until the man is caught, they will remain vigilant and cautious. One neighbor says that she was new to the area. She says that she generally feels safe walking down the street, but now, is going to be extra cautious. Another neighbor says that he has two daughters and hopes police catch this person very soon. So the whole incident was caught on this home security camera. And the guy whose camera it was said that he believes that the woman was definitely definitely trying to abduct her.
Yeah, he really, in the video, he's manhandling her. He's trying to overpower. And it's, Sunday morning, 10 a.m. I mean, that's
what?
Not, you don't think of,
you think you'd cover be safe,
night
yeah.
or something like that.
Exactly.
But that was, that's pretty terrifying. That's a dangerous individual right
you
there.
Know it's wild though, Preston, from that distance, so you can hear when you in the actual the video mm-hmm. you can hear her yell.
Yeah, she
and
screams.
Those mics aren't super sensitive, but it was super loud, so she yeah. let it well, it shocked him.
She did a good job of resisting and forcing him away, making noise and everything.
Look at those two people across the street. They just look and keep going though.
Yeah.
Why didn't they come over to help?
Life in the big city.
When it happened, also, if you look in the video, they're on the other side of this red Jeep here, so yeah. I don't know.
You also don't know. You don't know that it's an abduction. Like, I mean, it could just be a domestic dispute. And, you don't want to get involved.
None of your business.
I mean,
it's
also what
say.
They would have assumed on a Sunday morning at, at 10 a.m.
Kath,
I don't know. Somebody screamed. I don't know what she's yelling, but if I heard help, I'd have to do something.
You'd go down to see if you had an appearance at night.
Yes, I would check to see yeah. if I just had lipstick in my purse.
Steve passed out in the studio.
That's right.
So police are asking anyone with information to please contact them. Mm. Obviously, they're trying to identify this man and get him. A couple is accused of spending $120,000 that was accidentally deposited into their bank account. Investigators say Robert and Tiffany Williams had $120,000 deposited into their account on May 31st through a mistake by a bank teller. Instead of contacting the bank about the deposit, the couple allegedly spent most of the money in 2.5 weeks the following month. State police say that the couple bought an SUV, 2 4-wheelers, a camper, and a car trailer. Police say that they also used the money to pay their bills and get their cars repaired, along with several cash purchases. Investigators say that they even gave $15,000 to friends in need of money.
Sounds like someone was using miracle water, Preston.
You know what? I was
is that what you were thinking?
Not that, but I was thinking, I wonder if you could use the God defense. Uh-huh. In our defense, we thought that God gave that to us, and, God wants us to go camping. Yeah. So
you want money,
so we bought a camper.
You're going to have to do it the old-fashioned way and create a fake GoFundMe account.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the first thing I thought of was Dumb and Dumber. Like, is this Lloyd Christmas and,
right.
and Harriet Dunn? Like,
with IOUs?
With IOUs. That's a car.
You're going to want to save that one.
So once the bank realized its mistake, it transferred the $120,000 to the correct account. The bank contacted Tiffany Williams on June 20th and told her that the couple had to pay back $107,000 and overdraft fees they incurred. The woman told the bank that she and her husband would work out a payment plan. Court documents show after two initial phone calls from the bank, the couple had no contact with bank representatives despite several attempts. The couple is now facing felony theft charges, and they were arrested and then released on $25,000 bond.
I wonder what the specifics are of that as far as,
it's in their account.
When you're signing your documentation for a bank, when you're opening up an account, is that it's assumed or I mean, because the bank has made the mistake. I wonder where legally a lot of that falls. Remember there was a one bank that where the ATM was giving out money like crazy.
Yeah, it was just,
and
yeah.
they just said keep it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. But maybe it was the miracle water.
God is touching, hurting people around the world. And now he wants to touch you through Peter Popoff's powerful point of contact.
Oh,
the miracle spring water.
He told me that I was gonna get a windfall of money. And the UPS sent me in the mail a check for $15,000.
Whoa! we got $120,000.
I still want to know what that is all about. It's so bizarre.
Scam. It's a, you know, it's pretty brilliant.
Maybe
actually.
They should use that though as their defense. Let's see what the judge says.
We
about
use
that.
Magical tap water.
Water.
I mean, honestly though, $120,000 shows up in your bank account, and your first inclination is to go buy four-wheelers and a car.
Like, yeah, I know.
Okay. They were obviously not too smart about it. Yeah. Philadelphia 76ers forward Mike Scott was involved in a fight with an Eagles fan while tailgating outside the stadium after he wore a Redskins jersey and a hat to the party. Scott didn't appear to get injured in the video of the fight. He stuck around and took selfies afterwards, according to posts by other fans. Scott has become a popular player in the city for responding to invitations on social media and showing up to hang out with fans. He dropped in at a wedding reception earlier in the summer. We are aware of the situation and are in the process of gathering more information. We will have no further comment at this time, a team spokesperson said. In sports this morning, Carson Wentz threw a pair of deep touchdown passes to DeSean Jackson, and the Eagles overcame a 17-point deficit to beat the Washington Redskins 32-27. The link. After not taking a snap in the preseason, Wentz went 28 of 39 for 313 yards and three touchdowns in his first game since week 14 of last year. Jackson had eight catches for 154 yards, and the Eagles racked up 436 total yards. On the 3rd and 10 in the third quarter, Jackson ran past Washington defense, caught Wentz's pass inside the 10 and strolled into the end zone to give the Eagles a 21-20 lead. The 53-yard touchdown reception was Jackson's second of 50-plus yards in a game and the 31st of his career. Only Hall of Famer Jerry Rice has more at 36. Next up for the Eagles is a trip to Atlanta to play the Falcons on Sunday night. Meanwhile, quarterback Nick Foles debuted for the Jacksonville Jaguars last night, It lasted less than a quarter. Foles suffered a broken left clavicle when Chiefs defensive tackle Chris Jones drove him into the ground after Foles released the ball on a 35-yard touchdown pass to DJ Chark. He left the sideline for x-rays and was ruled out for the game shortly after. He will have surgery today, and there is no timetable for his return. It's the same clavicle Foles fractured while playing with the Eagles in 2014. Mike Calfranco, Scott Kingery, and Adam Haseley hit home runs, and the Phillies overcame an early deficit to outlast the Mets in a 10-7 win yesterday afternoon in Queens. With the win, the Phillies were able to tighten the National League wildcard race. The game took 4 hours and 29 minutes, a minute short of matching the longest nine-inning game in National League history.
Wow.
When it was over, the Phillies had closed within two games of Chicago for the second wildcard spot, while the Mets stayed four back of the Cubs, who lost to Milwaukee 8-5. The Phillies are back home tonight as they open up a four-game series against the first-place Atlanta Braves. Aaron Nola will get the start. Game time tonight is set for 7:05, and that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thanks, Kath. Trust everybody had a decent weekend.
It was gorgeous.
Yeah, it was beautiful weather-wise.
Yeah.
And, nice to have a couple of days off. We're back to the regular thing. We reset. We have a new Word of the Week prize this week. We have a pair of tickets to both local Tool shows. That's a big deal. They're sold out. So at the Wells Fargo Center, November 18th, that one is sold out. And also the Boardwalk Hall in AC on Friday, November 22nd. So if you're a psychotic Tool fan, this is absolutely perfect for you.
There are many of them.
Yeah, there are
many
of them. In fact, their album was number one in the Billboard Top 200. Yeah. I'm going to have a little bit more on that in Music News later on this morning. So we will give that away for the Word of the Week prize. And I'm sorry, I just took a good look at Nick for the first time today. Somebody was out in the sun this week.
Yeah,
and left their sunglasses on the entire time.
Sure did. Yeah. It was beach day yesterday. And rock climbing on Saturday.
Nice.
Yeah, man.
Well, you took advantage of it, man, getting
outside.
Yeah,
I probably should have put some sunblock on.
That's
but
all right.
What you going to do?
Yeah, you got to do. I turned to look, and that's a sign of having a good week.
There you go. Is, yeah.
So we also have, we're loaded up with giveaways for Kathy's Bitch Box. You know what? I should give away two of those right now.
Yes.
This is a Zeta Eta Pi sorority party. It's coming up on the 19th, and we are headed to Harrah's in Philadelphia. And you have to be at least 21, and you have to have a vagina.
Yeah.
So we do.
One way to put it.
Yep. If ladies only, and you can bring a female friend as well. So let's take callers 10 and 11 at 215-263. WMMR, and we'll get you on board.
So. I went yesterday to the Clover Market, which is kind of like a flea market that travels around the area. They were in Chestnut Hill yesterday, and one of the vendors who's giving to the box, Wim Jewelry, was there. So I went. I had to pick up some of the stuff there. It was a beautiful day out yesterday, and kind of collected some other things this weekend. I also stopped at Extra Boutique in Conshohocken. They're giving a really cool accessory to the box. And then I walked in today, and Stateside Vodka had dropped off what they're putting in the box.
Some goodies.
which is pretty cool.
All right. We'll get to that in a little bit. And last week, before we left on Friday, I was like, there were some cookies left on
my desk. Oh, my God.
There were some cookies left on my desk. And I'm like, okay, whatever. Yeah, okay, blah, 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 blah. And so we get done with the show, and I was getting ready to leave, and I'm like, you know what? I'll try one of these. And I came to you, Kathy. I'm like, this is stupid good. Like,
yeah.
First of all, they're bizarrely misshapen. Is this Carney's cookies?
This is Carney's cookies.
They look just like lumps of dough. You know, they don't look like a standard, you know, cookie.
Yeah.
And I started eating this, and I'm like, oh my Ooh. God! I'm like, Ooh, like so in my that voice in my head was going, oh my God!
Oh my God.
This is like next level good. So I took one of them home this weekend. I went to the movies yesterday and I took one with me.
Oh, one was able to make snack. The trip home because both mine stayed here in my stomach.
Yeah. So they're going to be there too, right?
Yes, Carney's cookies will be there as well. Yeah, and listen, everybody's coming to the event and they're going to set up a table. So whatever you're getting in Kathy's bitch box, obviously you'll be able to take that home with you. But if there's other items that these people have, they're going to have everything set up. You'll have the option to kind of shop at the event as well.
Cool. So we'll start stepping up the giveaways in regards to that. We are going to have on the program, as far as guests go, Kim Wayans. She is of that dynasty, the Wayans family.
Yeah, and we have never met her, at least in studio.
She's got a show called An Act of God, which is at the Bristol Riverside Theater, and it opens up on the 17th. So she's going to stop in this morning.
Very cool.
And we will spend some time talking to her about that. And then on top of all that, the A to Z is happening. So we are in the N's. Or I'm sorry.
No, the the's.
We're in the the's, but then the and then an N after that. So there's a whole lot of songs that start with the word the, and then we go in alphabetical order of the next word. And we're coming back with a toe tapper, man. One that's just.
Honestly, this is the party song. What a way to start off a Monday.
It's a little bit of a slower song. But anyhow, it's
not unless
short.
You're an addict.
That's true. But really good songs coming up this morning. I'm excited to continue on the Back to School A to Z. And only in the T's. We got a few more days left to go, man.
Yes. Yeah. I agree.
All right, let's take a break. Come back in a second. And I will give you the entertainment stories you so desire. We shall return shortly.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to do a stupid question this morning, and we are going to give away a pair of sweet tickets for the 100th race at Dover International Speedway. It is October 6th, by the way. And the question I have for you this morning.
The Malvern School. What's made at Malvern? Curious minds, happy hearts, and a lifelong love of learning. Teacher owned and teacher led since 1998. Now enrolling for fall. Schedule a tour at malvernschool.com. Preston, back to you.
All right. Thank you, Kathy. Very well done. Well done. And the crowd goes wild. Elephants are sometimes called pachyderms. What does that word mean? What does pachyderms essentially mean? 215-263. And don't say elephant, okay?
Yeah, we got that part. What does it actually specifically mean? Pachyderms.
Yeah, 215-263 WMR. Was not aware of this particular interpretation of that. So I'll get some birthdays while we are awaiting your answer. Today is Monday, September 9th, and Adam Sandler has his birthday today.
He's having another big career resurgence with his relationship with Netflix.
Yeah.
His movie. I watched his last one they did with Jennifer Aniston.
And?
It's good.
Okay.
It's fun.
I haven't heard nobody's motivated me to watch it.
Yeah.
Because I've heard the same thing. Yeah.
Right.
You know, but.
But for free at home, well, for sort of for free.
Right.
At
right.
home, it's a good watch.
Okay. All right. And I do like her an awful lot. And she's, so anyhow. Yeah, he's doing well as always. 53. He has made so much money over the years
from a guy who started with and all that, and then parlayed that.
He was on Remote Control. Is that what he was on?
He was on Remote Control. Yeah.
I listen. He's a good guy. Like he you know gives parts to his buddies and all that sort of stuff.
He was nice. We were at a Pips Comedy Club. There are a couple of shows there years and years ago in Sheepshead Bay. And he had already established a little bit. He had a little bit of a career going, and he couldn't have been nicer to me, you know, just up and coming. So, yeah, that's the legend, and it's truth.
53 today. Hugh Grant, the actor, is 59 years old.
You think of Hugh Grant. For all the work that he's done, when the name first comes to mind, what do you think of?
Well, I know what you think of, which is the prostitute.
Right.
Divine Brown.
Yeah, that's who it was.
That's it, okay. Yeah.
Yep. He is on the edge of 60, 59 years old. He was in something not that long ago, if I recall.
It was a Netflix movie where he plays a British politician?
I think that might have been it, yeah.
A Very English Scandal.
That's okay. It, yep.
Michelle Williams, the actress, is from Dawson's Creek and Brokeback Mountain and Oz the Great and Powerful, was with Heath Ledger.
Her couple of minutes in Manchester by the Sea...
I know.
You know, she has a breakdown on screen that's one of the most incredible pieces of acting I've ever seen.
When I think of that movie, I automatically think of that scene because it's just super emotional and very well acted.
She's just apologizing for, you know, a horrible incident that happened in their lives together, and it'll just rip your heart out.
Yeah, that's a... It's a bit of a downer movie,
it's
right?
A complete downer. But okay,
I've never seen
has,
it because
it has,
of that.
I think it has an up ending.
Okay. 39 today, Michelle Williams. Eric Stonestreet from Modern Family. How great is he?
So freaking funny.
Yeah. He's 48 years old today. Actor Henry Thomas. He played Elliot in the movie E.T.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what else he did.
A few things. He was in a he was actually in the Conjuring. No, not the Conjuring. He was in Haunting of Hill House.
Okay.
He's in that.
He's 48.
Oh,
today.
You had a question last week or the week before, Preston, about Legends of the Fall. He was one of the brothers in that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Did not know. And let's see. Rachel Hunter.
Oh
my goodness.
Yeah.
Man, did I have a thing for her.
Stacy's mom.
Yep.
Oh, we played that yesterday.
That video is phenomenal.
Yeah,
really?
In the A to Z? Yeah, okay. I forget. I think maybe Blake had it during his show.
You know what? Okay, so she's also, she has like a reality show. It's kind of like a travel show.
Really?
And it's pretty damn good. I caught it by happenstance one day, and I'm like, all right, it's Rachel Hunter. I'll hang out here for a minute. It was actually really good. She traveled around and tried out different beauty products, as you would imagine, you know. And
now you're talking my language.
But it was really it was enjoyable. Well, the production was really well done, and she was a
charismatic,
very charismatic, affable host, and she's still stunning. She's 50 years old today, so a big happy birthday to Rachel Hunter. Used to be married to Rod Stewart, right?
For a number of years, yeah.
And then the last birthday, a buddy of ours. Senator Chris Coons of the small wonder of Delaware celebrates his 56th birthday.
Tax-free shopping.
Tax-free shopping.
Go out and buy yourself something tax-free today.
The first state.
The first state, yeah.
So thank you very much, Mr. Chris Coons, and happy birthday to you. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to this stupid question. Elephants are sometimes called pachyderms, and what does that word mean? 215-263-WMMR. I'm going to go to Tom, see if we can get an answer. Hey, Tom, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Tom, what does pachyderm mean?
It means thick skin.
Thick skin, yeah. Very correct, sir. Hang on. Very correct.
That is very correct.
That is so very correct. Tom, we got you. Let me give you a pair of tickets of, in fact, they're sweet tickets for the 100th race.
They're very sweet.
At Dover International Speedway on October 6th, and you can help celebrate 50 years of Dover International Speedway. Tickets and info at doverspeedway.com. So hang on, we'll get your information. All right, let's see what we're going to start with. The box office. Number one was It Chapter 2, made $91 million.
It's pretty good, especially since it's almost a three-hour movie, right?
Yeah, Marissa saw it and sent me a good review. She said it was kind of it was good.
Yeah,
didn't blow her away, but I've kind of heard that as well. That's you know, worth seeing.
I am. I'm going to see it. Yeah.
Yep. Me too. Second was Angel Has Fallen, followed by Good Boys, The Lion King, Overcomer was fifth. Six.
That's a porn movie.
It is. Overcomer.
I'm so sorry. Usually not that much.
All right.
It's the Peter North story.
Exactly. Son, you've got a hit. You've got a future in pictures.
I have a feeling it's the exact opposite of that, because I've never heard of it.
It's a spiritual movie about overcoming. Right? Yeah, it's about a girl on a track team, and it's
not a
porn movie.
What do you mean it's the opposite of that?
All right, this is like a Peter North
movie.
You
know when that happens, you scream, oh, God.
Yeah, this is a...
I thought you meant as in very little as opposed to...
No, that it was a religious movie.
Yeah.
Because I had never heard of it. It's got like a religious sort of sound to it. It's fifth in the box office. So, yeah.
And the movie that it's from the creators of, The War Room, I watched that movie and I was a sucker for it.
Really?
Yeah.
What's The War Room about?
It's just about families. It's really just a family story of a couple of families and how they deal with certain things. And it's nice, you know.
All right. Overcomer.
No Peter North.
Five. Number six was Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw. Seven is The Peanut Butter Falcon. Followed by Scary Stories to tell in the Dark. Ready or Not was ninth, and then Dora and the Lost City of Gold rounded out the top ten. Let's start with Felicity Huffman. She has pled guilty to paying $15,000 to get her daughter's SAT scores boosted and apologize for her role in the college admissions scandal. In exchange for the plea deal, prosecutors want her to serve 1 month in prison and pay a $20,000 fine. I'm sure the prison thing won't happen.
More than likely, because it's almost, especially now when they send people to jail, you know, when they have in the past, they're in for like an hour and then they release them.
Yeah. Huffman's legal team filed a 161-page legal memo asking the judge to give her a year probation and 250 hours of community service. Included in the memo is a personal picture of Huffman, including her life at home with her daughters, Sophia Macy and Georgia Macy, and the utter shame she feels at the participation in the scheme.
I do get from her that she is ashamed. Whenever you see pictures of her, I don't know why. Maybe I'm just reading into it, but she does seem to be very contrite.
She admitted in her letter, "I find motherhood bewildering. In my desperation to be a good mother, I talked myself into believing that all I was doing was giving my daughter a fair shot. My own fears and lack of confidence combined with a daughter who has learning disabilities often made me insecure and feel highly anxious from the beginning." She also shared her daughter Sophia's horror at the behavior. She said, "When my daughter looked at me and asked me with tears streaming down her face, 'Why didn't you believe in me? Why didn't you think that I could do it on my own?' I had no adequate answer for her.
Because you're stupid.
I could only say I am sorry. I was frightened and I was stupid. In my blind panic, I have done the exact thing that I was desperate to avoid. I have compromised my daughter's future, the wholeness of my family, and my own integrity."
Mm.
Yeah. Her husband, William H. Macy, and co-star Eva Longoria also testified to her character.
Bill Macy's testimony was, "It's all her."
Yeah.
I didn't do nothing. Dude, you know how they get, right?
Bitches, right?
Bitches, right?
That's his testimony. Bitches, right?
Can I talk to you in my chambers for a second?
Yeah. Kevin Hart was riding in what experts tell TMZ was a death trap before it crashed.
A suicide rap?
You got to get out while you're young. The 1970 Plymouth Barracuda that he snapped up for his 40th birthday in July lacked essential key safety features. And when the car crashed over Labor Day weekend, horrific injuries resulted. Car experts tell TMZ that it is highly unusual for cars with 720 horsepower to be outfitted without a roll cage and five-point harness. Hart suffered three spinal fractures when the car crashed through a fence in Malibu Hills, and he's facing months of rehab after surgery, and reports claim that movie projects are up in the air as a result of the accident.
I guess so.
I don't know.
It was a beautiful car, though. It's a Barracuda, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, gorgeous cars.
Awesome, yeah. Yeah, Case, I don't know if it rolled over or not, but, you know, obviously you get that extra protection in the cockpit if you have that surrounding you.
Because he's so short, if that had anything to do with him, like...
If he rattled around inside?
Well, I mean, would he have been hurt more?
I don't know.
Had he
He was in his safety seat.
The car's driver, Jared Black, was determined to not be under the influence of alcohol. He was also injured seriously in the crash. And Dr. Phil, who has a souped-up Chevy, is reportedly planning to install safety harnesses because of Hart's mishap.
I'm concerned.
Yeah, so it put that on his radar, and he's going to fix up his Chevy.
We almost lost Kevin Hart. The world can't stand losing me.
Yeah, so I guess maybe his Camaro. I don't know what he's got, but he's going to
Who knew Dr. Phil was a speed junkie?
Reinforce it, yeah.
But this car had like 300 horsepower more than it normally would, right? I think it, the factory was like 420, which is a lot, obviously, but this one was a souped-up version.
Yeah. Well, people, guess the guy who had been driving, it was one of those cases, Preston, as what happened with from the Fast and Furious, Paul, what the hell was
Walker.
It? Walker, yeah. That the guy who was driving the car in that case with the Porsche, it just pulled out, got away from them. Yeah. And that he just basically drove off the road.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. You got to be careful when you have all that power. Amber Heard and Johnny Depp are still duking it out.
Oh, man.
Heard has hired lawyer Roberta Kaplan in a bid to get a $50 million suit filed against her by her ex-husband, Johnny, tossed. Now, Depp filed suit in March, 3 months after Heard published an op-ed in the Washington Post alluding to backlash that she received after accusing Depp of abuse. She didn't name him, but the reference was obvious. Depp has long denied the claims and has accused Heard herself of abuse. In her motion to dismiss, Kaplan argues, fundamentally and contrary to the premise of Mr. Depp's case, it was not about him and what he did to Ms. Heard during their marriage. It was about her and what happened to her after she came forward.
It was not about him hitting her. It was about her being hit.
I don't know what it's all about. It's gone back and forth enough times because she claimed abuse from him. He claimed abuse from her.
I don't know, man. Can they come to terms on this and just get
no.
it? Because the more that it's out there, he's trying to fight the bad press from something that he's keeping going.
Yeah, that too. Well, Pretty Little Liars star Holly Marie Combs married her longtime boyfriend.
Yay!
Restaurateur Mike Ryan. They got married in Carmel, California. The pair met at his L.A. restaurant, Zoc, in 2006.
You go to Zoc, too?
And it's spelled X-O-C.
I'm wearing two Zocs right now.
Do you think that's pronounced Zoc?
I'd go with Zoc.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
It's pompous enough.
They're
underneath my zoos.
It's a capital X and then small O and C. So
I go with Zoc.
Zoc, yeah.
Because X-Zoc would be bizarre.
Yeah. Combs met him 5 years ago after splitting from her second husband, with whom she shares sons Finley, Riley, and Kelly.
Mm.
So
it's delightful.
She got married.
I guess the first husband doesn't warrant a mention.
Mm. Project Runway alum and Bay Area fashion designer Chris March passed away at 56 years old. I'm not familiar.
Neither was I.
No Project Runway, but he did do some pretty great works for people. Cause of death was reportedly a heart attack.
Jeez.
He is most known for custom pieces for celebs like Beyonce, Meryl Streep, Lady Gaga, and Madonna. So he's dressed the most famous of them all. He has been battling health issues since suffering a debilitating fall in his apartment in June of 2017. So.
Falls, man, right? You know, that's whenever you go to the doctor and you're getting anything done, or you have any sort of procedure.
They ask if
you've fallen.
Yeah, you're right. I guess maybe it's a sign of, if you're having trouble with your motor skills.
Right,
they want to know about that, so, yeah. Christina and Aunt Anstead. I had to look them up. This is from Flip or Flop.
Yes.
She used to be Christina El Moussa. Is that
her name? Yeah.
So she's now Christina and married to a guy named Aunt.
She has her own show, her own standalone show.
So they have welcomed their first child together.
Yes.
Hudson London.
Hudson London.
Hudson London is the child's name.
All right.
And Aunt tweeted Saturday morning, one day after welcoming their newborn, "I always wanted to know what 12 minutes of sleep feels like. And now I know. Morning, Hudson," he wrote, adding love-filled emojis.
Mm, very sincere.
Christina shares an image of Hudson. And Christina shares Braden James and Taylor Reese with her ex-husband, Tarek. Is that how you say his name?
Yeah.
Tarek.
Tariq. Direct.
It's Zoc.
You used to watch that show.
I did, but like
you blocked it out ever since they separated.
I don't really care about people's names. Things like I really don't.
I don't care about your name.
I don't. You know, Chip and Joanna Gaines. It took me forever to like remember
why
their
do you
names.
Care, why do you care about their names so much?
Because I actually like them.
Okay,
and they're a good couple. I like those guys. These guys.
They had issues.
I didn't really like their on-screen chemistry.
Was he the one case who was spotted that
like cancer?
Yeah, thyroid cancer, and a nurse who was watching the show spotted a lump in his throat.
Yeah.
And told him to get it checked, and it saved his life. Mm.
The kids that she shares with the ex are Braden James, who is 4, and Taylor Reese, who is 9. Now, they got a new one. The new couple has a new kid. So it took Eddie Murphy more than a decade to get a movie about Rudy Ray Moore.
Oh, I love this.
Judging by the response to the film at the Toronto International Film Festival, the wait was worth it. Dolomite Is My Name drew some of the best reviews of Murphy's career following the film's premiere over the weekend in Toronto.
This is great, because we used to play Dolomite clips all the time.
Yeah. Murphy's last two leading performances, 2016's Mr. Church, I didn't even remember that, and 2012's A Thousand Words, were little seen and little loved. But Dolomite Is My Name was a passion project for the 58-year-old comedian. He long ago met with Moore, who died in 2008 at the age of 81, to discuss making a movie about the comedian. Moore's famous character, the straight-talking, kung-fu-fighting pimp Dolomite, was his stand-up persona and star of the 1975 blaxploitation classic Dolomite. I didn't know he did that as a stand-up persona.
Yeah, and it became this film series. Case, do we have any Dolomite clips in there?
I don't know. Let me check.
It's been ages since we played
it. I put my foot up your ass. Put my hush puppies up your ass.
Yeah. So he said, Eddie Murphy said, I never let go of the idea. It was always something that I thought could be a great movie. And I had been sitting on the couch, and it took some time to do nothing, Murphy said. It goes back to when Rudy was alive. I literally went to see him at a club, and it just didn't come together. And there was no Netflix back then. So Dolomite Is My Name, by the way, directed by Craig Brewer, who did Hustle and Flow, will be released by Netflix in theaters October 4th, and then begin streaming on October 25th. So they're going to do the screens first.
Yeah.
And then they're going to do it at the on the streaming service.
They're doing this now also with like Scorsese's The Irishman. That's going to get a very sort of limited run in theaters, and then it's going right up on Netflix.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, it is written by Scott Alexander and Larry Karashevsky. They wrote Ed Wood.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yep. So
that's in my, I'm going to put that in my top 10 favorite movies.
Wesley Snipes is playing director, Derville Martin. A few other people are on board. I think Keegan-Michael Key is in this as well. So it's probably going to be a lot of people that you recognize.
Excellent.
Cool. Yep. Constance Wu is opening up about Hustlers. Based on the real story of Rosalind Keough, she tells Deadline that I was looking to play a character who was really lonely because I think loneliness is pervasive in our culture right now. I think it was just an interesting role to play. The way that Destiny manifests her loneliness at first is by saying, I don't want to need anybody. I want to be independent.
I don't give a
I think Destiny is a stripper, by the way.
Yeah, you know what, though? To that point, I was reading an article today about millennials and senior citizens, and they were measuring the average amount of time that a good portion of people in those groups go without talking to anyone else. Like, being alone, being isolated, you know? Really? And that's an issue. It makes you sad to think that that's going on.
She said when really she does want friends and wants people to love her. So that's really what drew me to it. She continued saying strippers are often prejudged based on their occupations.
Because they're strippers, right?
Yeah, because they're strippers. And what's cool about this movie is that we explore the human stories behind this preconceived notion of what an occupation is. When you explore somebody's human story, you understand why they might make the choices they make.
I don't give a f-
I think she's gorgeous, though. Constance
she is, yeah. So it's going to be her, Jennifer Lopez, Julia
John
Stiles.
Samos.
No, not John Samos. Julia Stiles.
Okay.
Lily Reinhart, Kiki Palmer,
John Stamos.
Lizzo.
Love Lizzo.
Who's Lizzo?
She sings that song, Juice. She's a larger African-American woman. She's hilarious. She's really funny. She plays the flute, and she's a rocker and a rapper. She's awesome.
All right, and Cardi B are all going to be in Hustlers.
You should get on the Lizzo train, Preston.
I should?
Yeah, yeah. I think you'd like her.
Okie dokie.
All right.
Let's see.
Or not.
He won't.
No.
Paramount Pictures has snagged Brilliance, the adaptation of Marcus Sakey's novel with star Will Smith and C. Akiva Goldman writing the script. The pair will co-produce with James Lasseter and Shane Salerno. The Brilliance novel trilogy is set in the future when non-neurotypical people are demonized as threatening the status quo with their gifts. What does that mean?
It's about time for this movie.
What
are we talking Akiva?
What does that mean?
From the
Lonely Island?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You can do a quick check on that because that would
maybe
be.
Maybe he's
a,
hanging out with Lizzo. I don't know these people.
No.
I don't know.
You just report on it.
No.
Okay, the Goldman, he wrote A Beautiful Mind.
Oh, all right. All right. Well, there you go. That's different.
Let's see.
That's different.
In a few
D
weeks,
in a box.
In a few weeks, Sunnyside is debuting on NBC, and a sneak peek dropped on Friday. It hails from executive producers Cal Penn and Mike Schur. Penn stars as a disgraced city councilman who has totally lost his way till these five immigrants from five different backgrounds hire him to help them study for their citizenship test. And as he explains in the next preview, Sunnyside premieres Thursday, September 26th on NBC, so that's a new show.
What happened to that series where the it takes a village or whatever the hell it was, where people live in the apartment complex? We had some of the cast members in here. Is that still on?
Or The Village?
Was that it? I think it's called The Village, yeah.
Dude, I have no idea. There are so many shows. There's no way I
don't think just come and go. It's just too much.
Impossible. Yeah.
I mean, we were talking about this, you and I, at the Lizzo concert the other night.
I know, yeah. I know. And I could barely hear what you were saying. So, Stardust is a film based on David Bowie's early days and has snagged multiple pre-sales deals. I think I talked about this in Music News
the other day.
Johnny Flynn, it's going to be when he created his alter ego, Ziggy Stardust. Johnny Flynn stars as Bowie. Mark Maron is co-starring and his publicist, Ron Oberman.
This guy who's playing Bowie, you guys might remember him from Tango and Cash. He had the huge chin.
Shut up. That guy died.
I know.
Was
that guy?
Yeah, it's really strange that they would pick him as the David Bowie.
Why would you pick that guy?
Portrayer. Disney's upcoming Disney Plus streaming service will reach 82 million subscribers by 2024. That's according to a forecast from Digital TV Research.
Owned by Disney.
They said Netflix's dominance of global video on demand is falling, although the company will add 79 million subs between 2018 and 2024.
They're building a navy.
To take its deal into, take its total to 219 million, it said in its report. And Simon Murray, principal analyst at Digital TV Research, noted this comes despite the onslaught from new global players.
So here's the deal. The Netflix, their biggest strength is their original programming. The Disney streaming service comes on with all sorts of highly anticipated original programming.
Yeah.
It's going to be a formidable option.
Yep. Yep.
All right, so Netflix has locked me out a couple of different times, most recently last night, because two other people were watching something.
Did you get the family plan?
Yeah, you have to have a certain amount of devices.
I have a certain amount of devices. That's...
Do you pay the basic, or there's like a family plan that allows multiple devices to be on it at once?
I don't know. Like, I have it. It's part of my Xfinity package or whatever. I just wanted to watch something as I was going to bed. And
do you think it has something to do with your inability to remember names?
It's not my inability. It's my lack of care.
Okay, you don't care.
No, yeah. It's the number of devices. The same thing happened to me, and it'll knock you right off if somebody else is watching.
Right.
Go into your account and your preferences or your settings and see what plan you have.
Yeah. I was walking around my house in my underpants last night going, who's watching Netflix? Because it was bedtime.
Who's watching Netflix? Who watching Netflix?
And was anybody watching?
No, I think my wife was downstairs watching Netflix, but my kids should have been in bed. None of them were watching Netflix. I think maybe somebody was like down the shore watching Netflix.
So here you go.
My in-laws or something like that? I don't even know, but
The Optimum plan is $15.95 a month, $15.99 a month, and that is four screens at a time, HD and Ultra HD available. Download videos on four phones or tablets.
Okay. So four screens at a time.
At a time, yeah.
At a time.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. And then one last thing, Will Poulter will lead the cast of Amazon's Lord of the Rings series.
I like him.
The show, based on Tolkien's iconic series of novels, is locked in secrecy. And Markle Cavanaugh was the first person to be cast. So I really don't know anything about what this is going to be about.
I hope it's good. That's all I hope. Oh, The Watchmen, I believe, is the series is premiering in just a couple weeks.
Awesome. I can't. I hope they do it justice. Please do it justice.
I know.
I don't want them to ruin it. All right. We're ready for clips, folks. So Lodge 49 follows the life of an optimistic ex-surfer as he joins a fraternal order to live a happier life. In this clip, Wyatt Russell discusses the charm of the lodge. Here we go.
These lodges used to be cores of the community, where they have bingo nights and they have all of these different things for people to come in the community and be together. Now with phones and email, internet, you just can't be together as much as you used to be because your time is being sucked away.
Dude, you get the best barrels ever, dude. Just like you pull in and you just get spit right out of them. And you just drop in and just smack the lip. Drop down, snap, and then after that,
you pit it.
You just drop in, just ride the barrel and get pitted, so pitted like that.
Lodge 49 airs at 10 p.m. tonight on AMC. Here's the next clip. Months after announcing his cancer diagnosis, Alex Trebek is in great spirits and ready for another season. In this clip, the Jeopardy host assures viewers of his loyalty to the show.
Unless you're dead, if you made a commitment to an important group, an important association, and a lot of people are counting on you, a lot of people are coming here because they expected me to be here, unless I'm dead, I'm coming. And I arranged to come.
Yeah! Season 36 of Jeopardy premieres tonight at 7 p.m. on 6ABC.
So they're doing the repeats on Jeopardy, and sometimes you'll sit there, and I watch the repeats over. You know, it's just such a ritual to watch Jeopardy, and something will come up about Italian opera, and I'll know the answer, and I'll be like, how did I know that?
How did I know that answer?
Oh, yeah, it's a repeat.
They have, you know, you can go back and watch seasons of that, which is great, because I don't watch every day. I used to watch every day. And when you go back and watch an old one, it's like watching something new, which is cool.
Yeah.
If you missed it. So I love that show. All right. And that's it. That's the entertainment report for today. We are doing the Back to School A to Z, of course, here on MMR. We are in the letter T, and we've gotten to a subcategory of the word the. And Chuck D'Amico, one of the heads at putting that together, has really stayed with the making sure that the word the has been incorporated into the first word of the title.
It's a difficult process.
Yeah, yeah. So we have a lot of interesting entries this year, and we're going to continue into those. So the the's are where we are. We'll take a break, come back in a second with that. We're also going to have guest-wise Kim Wayans. In our studio this morning. Yes, from that family, the Wayans group.
At that point, we will have had all the senior Wayans siblings, and except for the one that doesn't perform, I think, Nadia.
Maybe so, yeah. So we're going to take a break, come back in a moment. Make sure that you stay with us today on this Monday morning.
Philly Burger Brawl is back. Who will be crowned best burger in the city? You decide.
Mm-hmm. This is a tasty burger.
Sample some amazingly creative and tasty burgers from over 50 area restaurants. Join us this Sunday at the Navy Yard Parade Grounds for 3 hours of burger bliss. Each ticket gets you a free beverage and on-site experiences with fun vendors. VIP tickets get you an extra hour and unlimited beverages in the VIP lounge. Proceeds benefit literacy programs through technology in underserved neighborhoods of the Philadelphia School District. Tickets are on sale now. Complete details at WMMR.com.
I like big balls.
Oh, thank you. I don't know if you guys know or not, but the Eagle season started yesterday.
Really?
Did that hurt? No, no, you were doing it all day yesterday, for sure, man. Yeah, home opener was yesterday. Beautiful day.
Gorgeous.
Ended up being perfect.
Yeah.
Was really excited for Casey, specifically, because he's the biggest Eagles fan we know.
Yeah.
And I was really excited for the debut of your new outfit at the game, but it ended up, there was a bit of a snafu.
Little bit of a snafu. I saw... All right, real quick. I got an inflatable eagle outfit, right? So I
it's
thought...
Huge. It's huge.
Hold 1 second.
E-A-G-L-E-S-E-O. Now proceed. So a few months ago, I was like, oh, I wonder if they make inflatable eagles outfits. And I found one online. I'm like, this is what I want. Sent a picture and a link to my wife. I said, get me this for my birthday. So she got it for me. So I've had this thing since July 4th. I took it out of the package for the first time yesterday
morning. You tested it on game day morning?
Like an a-hole. I know. So I tried it on at about 9 o'clock in the morning. The freaking fan didn't work in it.
Right.
Like, dude... Come on, man. So luckily, I have a couple other inflatable outfits in my house.
How do you send out an inflatable eagle with a broken fan? What company does that?
You don't.
You're selling the entire inflatable eagle industry.
Fortunately for Casey,
he
had a few more inflatable suits at home.
Yo, man. You got inflatable Tyrannosaurus Rexes.
I think it's hilarious that we own inflatable suits, though.
You guys probably own more inflatable suits than regular suits, right?
Well, you're probably right. I own 2 suits and 3 inflatable suits. So, yes, you're absolutely right.
So, go ahead.
So, I took the fan out of my inflatable baby outfit, and and I put it in this one, and thank God it worked. But my head, the head hole was not big enough, so I got to tweak this thing a little bit.
Yeah.
I didn't get down to the game until almost noon yesterday. I had to wait for my mom to get home from Mass. Took her a little bit of time. Then I had to go get my sister and then my brother. Traffic was bad in and around the stadium, so I didn't, like, get into my parking spot until almost noon.
I have an image of you like Ray Liotta towards the end of Goodfellas. Yeah. And he's driving from one place to another. So.
Yeah.
So, in his eagle outfit.
Then I got to go home, put on my eagle outfit, drop off the cocaine.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
And then, so, there was just too much going on. The outfit is too big. I didn't want to be around all those people as they cattle shoot you into the stadium, so I decided to bail. It was probably a better decision to bail
because
it was pretty hot yesterday, too.
I got to tell you something also. I think it's a great costume. My issue would have been the person behind you might have been upset because your face comes out just about, I guess, though.
Casey's only about 5'8", you're about 5'8", 5'7", 5'8".
We'll say 5'8", like
It would have made you about
6'8".
That's pretty big.
I wouldn't have this thing fully inflated during the game.
You'd have it flaccid?
No, flaccid during, like, play, and then after touchdowns, then you inflate, and
Fly Eagles fly.
That Fly Eagles fly thing, and then E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles.
Would you even fit it? Okay, you know. That's how you do it?
Yeah.
Okay, so then you could have sat in the seat with it uninflated, right?
Yes.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
Now I'm misled.
Yeah. But it would have been, I mean, listen, the sun, it was a beautiful, beautiful day, but the sun was beating down on us for a while. Actually, my seats are good because from like halftime on, we're in the shade. So we're pretty good. But and there really wasn't a whole lot to celebrate about until after halftime anyway. But I made an executive decision to not break out the suit yesterday, I saw 2 of them in the parking lot.
Yeah, there were 2 of them already there. So that's, I thought you had a full on original. I mean, it's pretty damn original, but I thought you were going to be the only one.
So did I. But no, I didn't see any in the game, only in the parking lot.
All right.
Will they let you bring inflatable outfits into the game?
Yeah, okay.
Is that when they won't let you bring in like
you can't bring a purse that's not see through, but you can bring a big inflatable.
You could
in.
Put a Lars rocket launcher in that thing.
Yeah, I wore that green blob thing that I have.
Yeah,
that's my third inflatable suit. Right. I wore that into a game a few years ago, and I found out then that this is pretty hot. You got to wear this when you can actually wear.
We're looking. I'm sorry to interrupt. We're looking at the picture that Casey posted on Instagram. I love your pose. Arms up, one front leg kicked out, your right leg kicked out. It looks like you're ready to party.
Well, I was walking towards my wife, like kind of like flapping my wings.
Right, of course.
Think like
a mating sign.
think like there's a engine number, and I like that kind of tempo. That's right, kind of how I was walking down. pick it up, all right. And then, but what's even better is my neighbors were walking their dog, Gary, and I don't remember Gary's wife's name, but like my wife's like she did not seem amused, and I was like, Gary was wearing a Hawaiian Eagle shirt. Like, he totally gets it and is totally fine with it.
What would have been great, though, is if you guys would have gotten in a shouting match on the front yard with you dressed as an eagle.
Yeah.
Would you just take the picture already? Jumper, we would have been done by now.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But my wife, on the lawn. My wife snapped like 5 or 6 photos, and in one of the photos, I'll have to send it to you guys. Gary was trying to hide behind my giant outfit, but you just kind of see his head poking out from behind. Mm-hmm. It's a really, really funny picture. But, yeah, all right. So next home game is September 22nd. Maybe against the Lions, weather depending.
All right. This might be kind of warm if it starts to get chilly.
Nice. Did you have a good time?
I had a great time. I went with my little brother, my sister, and my mom. Unfortunately, my older brother couldn't go to the game because his friend's mother passed away, so he had to go to a memorial service. So my mom went, and that was a big deal.
Cool.
And
my mom hadn't
been to a game in a couple of years.
So are you intrigued and cautiously optimistic after seeing everything
They're
yesterday?
They're going to win the Super Bowl every year, Steve. Every year is their year, and this year is no different. So.
Yeah. Marissa went as well. Yesterday.
Yes, yeah.
Did you do the... did you get all ripped up, have a good time?
Hell yes.
Yeah.
Well, they do like a real deal tailgate.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, my tailgate has a hype video I put on my Instagram account yesterday. Mm-hmm. We made a whole video just for that.
How big is your tailgate setup?
It's an RV, and it's right in the middle of the H lot, which is where all like the really nice like tablecloth linens and really nice tailgates are. And we have an RV that's like duct taped together and needs a quart of oil every time it goes out. There's probably about 30 people. We play flip cup. We have a pinata every game.
Wow.
So yeah, it's fun.
It's some intense tailgating. There's an article in the Inquirer about people who commit and how early they show up, especially the people with the RVs and stuff like that.
I love it, but like that's way too much work. You know, I actually like being the person who just kind of shows up like, hey, dudes.
Yeah.
Me too, Casey. You have to show up at 6 o'clock. I got corrected yesterday. 6 o'clock to get your spot. Because otherwise, you're just going to be all the way, like, in FDR, in the Phillies lot, or someplace bad. So if you have an RV, you have to set up hours and hours ahead of time when, like, watch the sunrise.
That's a lot of work, man. And what time do you start breaking that down before the game?
We usually take it to the last minute. So we start breaking down around, like, 12:30.
Mm. Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah. Were you during the flyover yesterday then? Did you make it into the stadium?
I was walking next to the link, and I noticed that it's not technically a flyover. It was a fly next to.
Yeah, they don't go directly over top. Yeah. You can see it from inside the stadium, but yeah.
I think it's so cool, though.
Yeah, it is very cool.
Seemed like they flew right over my head.
Yeah.
I forgot how drunk you get playing Flip Cup, by the way. My friends said they were actually practicing in their kitchen. Because we like take this stuff really intense. So they were practicing in the kitchen that morning. I was not
practicing
so good.
Flip Cup?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you don't want to embarrass yourself.
Yeah, I guess you don't.
Well. Casey and I tailgate very differently.
No, I used to when I drank, but I don't drink anymore, so like I totally tailgate differently.
Yes.
Now it's all about the inflatables.
But I get everybody home safely.
There you go.
That's my job.
Very good.
You know what I'm saying?
And thank you for SEPTA for getting me home safely.
Are you the DD case?
Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Every tailgate needs one.
Now he's the DE, the designated eagle.
Yeah.
I was pretty cool. Next to my seats was McLaurin's dad from the Redskins. And even though, like, I don't want to talk about the game because the first half was just bad, his dad got to watch him score his very first touchdown. It was a 70-yard run back, and he was just going crazy for, like, the entire quarter.
And I'm sure the crowd was supportive, right?
Oh, yeah, they love that.
Actually,
he was wearing the jersey and he kept yelling, "That's my boy." So even though the entire stadium was booing because of the touchdown, everyone around him was like high-fiving him. And then some dude showed up with a cigar, just walked over and handed him a cigar.
An exploding cigar. Here, smoke that up, buddy.
Nice.
Congrats on your boy. Enjoy.
Cool. Well, it's on, man. It's underway. It's happening as we speak. I wanted to, there's something I heard last week, which I'd never heard of before, Steve, and I just wanted to bring this up because we're talking about parties and so forth, and, you know, tailgating and barbecuing and all this.
We're getting into that.
I ran into somebody who works in our office, and I'd asked her what she did the night before. Maybe it was over the weekend. She's like, yeah, well, I went to an I Do Barbecue, and blah, blah, blah. This is kind of skated over there. I'm like, hang on a second. What's an I Do Barbecue? You guys ever heard of that before?
No, but I haven't.
Like an engagement party?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to vomit.
But only for people in the wedding party.
Right. Okay.
So
it's kind of where they do they ask them to be in the wedding party? Like that's part of the event?
I'm not really sure.
And I do barbecue.
I do barbecue.
So instead of like, so isn't that party usually?
So I've been to like where they invite the bridal party over, and that's you're at a party and they ask you to be in the bridal party. So
is that what that is?
You're going to a party and you don't actually know yet
until you get to the party,
right.
And then they say, by the way, you're all going to be in.
Or they ask you. Yeah.
Okay.
So do attendees at, they don't know until some point in the evening when.
I mean, my brothers, I knew I was going to be in my brother's wedding, but right. Yes. And then they, you know, gave us a bottle of wine, and on the wine, you know, she had put in like a cute little saying asking us to be, you know, it was a custom made wine label. And then, you know, it was a cute saying asking us to be in the wedding.
I would attend the I'd prefer not barbecue.
I actually never liked the idea of an engagement party. And so. You can put a cute little name on it, right, and make things rhyme, and I'm not going to like it or dislike it any more or any less.
Well, that's what they do, though. Yeah, that's what whoever they are.
There must be some counselor, commissioner, somebody who puts together, like, with the gender reveal stuff now. That went from 0 to 60.
Now, listen, somebody said chillaxin for the first time, and then somebody liked it, and then they said it, and then somebody else liked it, and now a whole bunch of idiots say chillaxin.
I blame Kathy because she's an influencer.
I don't think I've ever uttered that word.
No, me neither, Kathy. But I hate it so much, and I hate I Do Barbecue.
So I'm wondering where this started, because there's an article on theknot.com, right, which is a wedding magazine and a wedding website. And so do you think that they wrote the article thinking that this might be a thing, or did they write the article because it already was a thing?
I think they can help boost it by reporting on it.
Right.
All the not readers. But I don't know. Usually something has to have a little bit of traction before you report on it, right?
So yeah, I would think so. But so you have an engagement party, okay?
Okay.
You have, I guess now, an I Do Barbecue. You have to have a rehearsal dinner.
The rehearsal dinner is what, it, to me, the, isn't that sort of, that's the wedding party gathering,
that's
right?
That's what I always thought it was.
Well, but not anymore, because now if you have out-of-town guests, if you're going by, you know, their rules, you have to invite the out-of-town guests to the rehearsal dinner.
Right.
But out-of-town guests the wedding party aren't expected to attend the I Do Barbecue, are they?
I think the I Do Barbecue is taking over the engagement party. I don't think you're having an I Do Barbecue and you're having an engagement party. I think it's sort of one or the other.
Really?
Yeah.
But you would only invite...
Because an I Do Barbecue is an engagement party.
Yeah, but you're only inviting the people that would be in your wedding party.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I don't know if that's the case. I'm just saying that is also, I've been to parties where they only invite the bridal party.
Because let's say you have a big engagement party or your I Do Barbecue, but you're only inviting some of the people that
just
are there.
Just invite people who can be in the direct wedding party.
But let's say you have like 50 people there, but you're only inviting like 7 of them to be in your wedding party. That's kind of insulting to the other people that show up.
This is really useless.
That's like saying you have to put every single friend in your bridal party. I think you know who's...
But if you're at a party and you're not part of the list there...
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, I'll just be waiting over here.
Yeah.
No.
Enjoy your being celebrated by the bride and groom, and I'll just stand over here and have my fruit.
No, I don't think so.
So you have all these parties. What are the ones involved with having a baby? There's a shower,
the
right? The
Barber
Bris.
But listen, like the I Do Barbecue and the gender reveal, I think are kind of organized so that you don't have to bring a gift. You're not bringing a gift to, do you know what I'm saying?
A gender reveal?
Yeah, like it's more set up like the barbecue. Like come over for a barbecue. You don't quite know what it is. But whereas an engagement party is, if you show up without a gift, or at least for me, if I showed up without a gift, I would feel awkward.
Okay. Yeah. So let's say engagement party, you show up, you bring a gift, and then when you go to the wedding, you bring another gift.
Yeah.
All right, hang on. I just saw a text that came over. It said Connor Betts, he's an assistant producer here, went to an I Do Barbecue. I'd like to know if he brought a gift with him
All right.
to the I Do Barbecue. Because, Kathy, I think I think I don't think it's a, I think you have to bring a gift to an ID barbecue.
I don't know. Here, well, Connor. Connor's
all right. We need an explanation, right, clarification, in case I, by some stretch of the imagination, get invited to an I Do barbecue. I want to know what to do.
Connor? I did not bring a gift.
Okay.
Were
okay.
you aware that it was an I Do barbecue before you attended?
Yes.
Okay. So that is the premise of the I Do barbecue, yeah, when it was presented to you, that you were coming because you were going to be in, asked to be a part of this wedding party?
Yes. And I was not a part of the wedding
party. All right. Did your girlfriend bring a gift?
No.
Okay.
So all when right. you went.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like the gender reveal is to come. We're all finding out together what the baby is going to be. You're not going to bring a gift to that. The bridal, or I mean, the baby shower. Yes, that's the point of a baby shower. Huh. Your friends, your family, they're bringing gifts so that you can be prepared for when the baby comes. Yeah.
So a reveal party, you wouldn't bring a gift to?
No.
Why not?
Because that's what I'm saying. It's not a party where you're, I'm sure some people do, but for me, that's not where you're bringing the gift. You're bringing it once you either know what the baby is or they're registered for their gifts, and you're bringing it to the shower. That's the gift giving party.
I think we're being manipulated.
By the way, his text says, Connor prefers to be called Moose.
Yeah.
What's that all about?
That's just a nickname from high school.
Oh, okay. I did not know that.
High school and to college, and everybody calls
me. Okay, gotcha. So. Well, I didn't know that. Nice to meet you, Moose.
So, Moose, what was it like at the I Do barbecue?
Well, I didn't bring a gift, one, because they are wealthy, and yes. I am poor.
Right.
So I think my mom might have brought a gift, but I didn't.
And so who with the cluster that you attended, who was asked to be in the bridal party?
It was my friend's brother's engagement party, I guess. So then we were all friends with him, and it was a bunch of my friends, and then I was not asked.
Did they line you up?
I was backup.
Did they line you up in a row and then yes, no?
Yes. Yeah.
It's like picking for kickball.
Right, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No. And then, Connor, you're there with the caterer standing there.
Yeah, it was me and the caterer and the dog.
Right, yeah, yeah.
On the side.
These are the ones who will not be in our wedding party. Shame them.
Sorry, Moose.
Why don't you forget the Moose for a moment?
But you didn't go to the party expecting to be asked to be in the bridal party, right?
No.
Yeah.
Not even a little bit?
No.
With how good you look in a gown?
You don't have every friend you know in your bridal party.
No, but I'm saying this seems oddly... It is like being picked for teams in school.
No.
And you're left out of it.
No.
Why not break up into shirts and skins?
Hey, I'm sorry to interrupt. Somebody had said something about and I lost the text here. It was something about, they call it a sprinkle.
That's when you have a baby shower, because usually you only have one baby shower.
For babies, there's a thing called a sprinkle, it says here. What's that now?
So when you have a baby, when you have your first baby, that's typically when you get your baby shower, and then that's it. You have other kids after that. You're not having a shower for every single baby you have. But if there's a little bit of time in between, or say you had a boy first and you're now having a girl and you don't have any of the girl items, your friends or your family, instead of throwing you the big shower, they throw you a smaller party called a sprinkle.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
I always thought that for each baby, you would get a full-blown baby shower.
For each baby?
Yeah. Right?
No. Yeah. First baby.
No way. Okay.
Yeah.
Right,
Case?
Yeah.
No, first baby.
I agree with you.
So you don't, like, down the line get a baby shower for each baby, you get this sprinkle?
Sometimes you'll get, if there's been a number
of... By the way, here it's a Jimmy.
If there's been a number of years in between babies, then sometimes you'll get another shower. But yeah, I mean, I had a sprinkle at my house for my neighbor. She was having but she had three girls, so you weren't going to have like another big shower. She had all the items she needed, but it was just something nice to kind of give her a few new things.
This is news to me. Never heard.
I am socially inept.
Yeah, I'm way out of touch, man.
I'd be showing up with my an I Do barbecue with my gender reveal outfit.
Yeah. Let me go to Martha.
Boy or girl.
No.
Martha, you're on the air. Good morning.
Sorry to bother you at work.
It's all good. Okay. What's up, Martha?
So I'm actually getting married in a week.
Oh.
But I had a party like this. I didn't know it was called an I Do barbecue, but I didn't. I just invited my bridal party. The only people who knew what it was for was my in-laws, my parents, and my best man and maid of honor. And then I asked them all to be in the party, but I did it because a lot of them are from different friend groups and they don't know each other. So I wanted to give them a chance to get to know each other while they like help out and, you know, before they do all the things.
All right. So to clarify, all the attendees of your particular I Do barbecue were people that you were going to ask to be part of your bridal party.
Correct.
All right. So, and then was there anybody there who is not going to be asked?
No. Okay. I mean, maybe somebody's husband or
yeah.
something. Yeah, that's like the party that I went to.
Martha, did anybody bring gifts?
No.
Not one of them.
My maid of honor brought a gift for me. That was it.
I always feel if you show up at a place, if you've ever shown up to an event where there were gifts expected and you don't have anything.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I don't think it's a party where gifts are expected. It's like having somebody over to your house for a barbecue. You're not going to bring a gift for that.
Well,
my wife bring gifts. If we're just going out to dinner with somebody,
I know, yeah,
she brings
she's
a little
good.
Gift along.
I know. I invite her. I love inviting her. I know.
Suggest something? Yeah. Keep some wrapping paper in your car. Mm-hmm. Wrap the tire iron.
Yeah, there you go. Look, I got it.
If you get a flat. These are really good.
This could save your life.
Love nuts.
Mm-hmm. Let me go to Melissa, similar to the last caller. Hi, Melissa. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
What's up, Melissa?
So I actually had an ID barbecue. The bridal party already knew that they were in the wedding, and it was just kind of like a meet and greet for everybody to get to know each other.
Okay, like the last caller. I guess a lot of the people in the party didn't know each other.
So what do you do in the dead of winter? When barbecues aren't really appropriate in the middle of
you're talking about a typical cook outside type thing.
Oh, I would do it at a restaurant or something.
You could do that.
Do you still call it
really
a barbecue?
A barbecue. Yeah, because it rhymes with I do.
You. Yeah, yeah. Come on.
I do barbecue relocated.
Man,
okay.
What did all these people do before the I do barbecues?
They walked out into the woods. They picked each other. She hunched down, had a baby, and they started a family.
Yeah. How did we ever get along without these I do barbecues?
I want to talk about the sprinkle. So let me go to Henry. Hi, Henry. Good morning.
Hey, man, you guys are really bothering me at work. I'm just trying to work here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Sorry about
that,
Henry.
Sorry, we'll get you at a better time.
What's up, man?
I just sprinkled in my pants a little bit, if that counts.
Yes.
So we just hosted a sprinkle, actually. My girlfriend's friend, this is her second baby, and they had one. And I don't care what the ladies tell you, it's a full-blown baby.
Of course it is. Thank you, Henry. I had every confidence that despite the classification, like, to the ladies, we're all agreed this is going to be low rent, right?
Yeah.
Now, I have a question for Kathy. But my girlfriend has a child from a previous fella. Now, if we have a child, would it be another baby shower since it's my first kid?
You know what? I think it has a lot to do with what you have. That was, traditionally what it was supposed to be, is so that you don't have to spend all of this money. You know, and most couples can't, to buy everything you need for a baby. So it's to help you with those items. So if she still has, I don't know how old the baby is, but she still has all of that.
The baby's 9.
So that would be long enough. I think, yes, you would get your own baby shower. If I was planning it, you guys would get another baby shower.
At what iteration of this does it simply become a sponge bath?
We should start. I'll take
one of those.
Nice.
Like,
a sponge bath.
Thanks, Henry.
I'm planning you a sponge bath.
That's how high
you're
you
welcome.
Rate.
Here you go. Dan has an idea for a party. Hi, Dan. Good morning, sir. what's up, Dan?
So they do something for the guys now, too. This happened for my first kid about 2 years ago. I was surprised with it. It's called a cases and cases party.
Cases and cases?
Cases and cases. So a case of diapers and a case of beer.
I love it.
Male friends and your male family members come over.
I love it.
Barbecue, whatever.
The better thing would be the FU barbecue.
Yeah.
FU barbecue. All right. I don't hate that.
Cases and cases.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
So that when people come over to visit the new baby, you've got beer to give them and to help you sleep at night.
Okay.
To help you sleep at night.
Thanks, Dan. I appreciate it.
So do guys get dramatically shortchanged on the party quotient? And I'm not opposed to that. It seems there have been such a litany of new celebrations added to the roster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. Guys don't appreciate the baby stuff as much as the girls do.
Yeah.
It almost seems like the girls are getting the gifts, but really they're not. Like, the babies are getting the gifts. And then also, same thing with the wedding showers. Like, even though everything is for the couple, you know, guys aren't like, oh, my God, look at this china. You know, like,
I will tell you, I've heard more women complain about, is it the bridal shower? Is it the one where you get wrapped up with
As far as the length of it.
And having to attend and all that
Listen,
stuff.
Listen, both of them
every single thing.
Are boring.
Yeah. So why does it still continue? Because they need
the items. Because you're getting married. Yeah. You have absolutely nothing.
And it's their turn.
You've paid into the kitty. Yeah.
They've done it. For their friends and their family members. And when it comes around time for them to do it, they want their
turn.
By the way, at baby showers, do the ladies not drink because the
hell no. What?
Well, because she can't drink.
I don't care.
Okay.
No, you made the mistake. You kept those legs closed, you'd be imbibing right along with us.
Here's an event planning tip for you. Don't ever have a party without alcohol.
I agree. Yeah. Somebody's going to want to get liquored up.
Somebody. It doesn't even need to be liquored up, but you need to offer them something.
Here's an idea. Have rosé and sausage. Nick just pulled this up. What is this, Nick?
Well, this is from the I Do Barbecue, the tips you can do with your food bar if you don't want to just have burgers and dogs.
Where are the sausages?
All right, rosé and sausage.
It says here, sausages right off the barbecue.
Okay.
Are
amazing with a glass of rosé.
Do you think that's what Moose had at his I Do Barbecue?
Why don't you forget the moose for a moment?
She says, I don't know who she is. It says the best.
I don't know who she is.
It's best to pair the sausage with a wine with some sweetness, acidity, and hints of fruit.
Where are the sausages?
I don't know. Okay. They say. It's what she says.
I'm sure Gus will be that much. As long as it's paired properly.
Yeah. Well, I'd never heard the term I Do Barbecue before, but apparently that's another one to add to the list with your gender reveals, right. Your sprinkles, your showers, your engagement
golden
parties,
showers.
Your golden showers, the...
I mean...
Butterscotch bandits, your
and
hot
that's
car
nice. Overcomers.
That's, guys, you're... combining things that it's not.
Yeah, Overcomer was a movie.
We're here for the hot Carl party.
What were you going to say, guys?
I just don't make your wedding more special than it really is.
Yeah.
You know?
Or do it since it's your wedding.
Yeah.
Don't make it more special than it really
because
is.
Because it might end up in a murder suicide, you know?
Wow. Like,
you're not special. Wow. This day isn't special.
It might end up.
They had an I Do barbecue, and now he's dead. Yeah.
Yes. Congratulations. It might end up in a murder suicide.
I'm Keith Morrison. It started with an I Do barbecue and ended with where'd you bury the body?
I love it.
Wow, so Casey, way to add the love to the conversation.
I just watched this show on Friday night that.
By the way, how was that?
That was boring.
It was boring.
No kidding. It was the one on the main line. It was a murder-suicide.
Started with an I Do barking.
Yeah, he had an affair, and his wife ended up killing the girlfriend and then herself in the girlfriend's home in Radnor, right, Nick?
Yeah, Rosemont, right off Lowry's Lane. And it was a horrific murder-suicide.
I think he was very, cautious about what he said. He was watching, clearly watching what he said, and there was no, there was no juicy details. There was nothing to it. It was everything we already read in the news.
Okay. Oh. Well, some of the surveillance stuff was supposed to be the weird part about that.
Yeah, and
right?
They didn't even, I mean, they went a little bit into it, but it wasn't even, so she had GPS trackers on his car and she had sewn something into his.
But it wasn't one of the better.
No.
The weird thing is at the end of it, people were like blaming him. And I'm like, no. Listen. It's all her. Like, she was the one who went out and bought the gun, target practice, plotted all this sort of stuff for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Whether he's likable or not.
Whether he had an affair or not.
You don't kill someone.
You don't kill somebody.
Yeah, 2020 said, put a question up on Twitter and said, what do you think? Like, who's at fault here? And there was a lot of people blaming all three of them.
Yeah.
But we learned from this,
yes.
Don't have a big fancy wedding.
Yes.
Because... A lot of marriages end in murder suicide according to Casey.
Right. I didn't say a lot. I said
it might.
Don't
it
waste
might.
Your it money. Might. Could. On it could. The
it's possible.
Yeah. However, if you want to get on TV,
Fifteen minutes of fame.
All right. Anyway, let's invite some people to a different kind of party. Here we are talking about how unnecessary parties are, and we're having one.
But we're giving you something.
This is us giving to you. Exactly. It's a sorority. I'm like, what's the tie-in with the music here? Okay, yeah. The collegiate music, it's our sorority. It's Kathy's Bitch Box Party, which, of course, is under the umbrella of the President Steve Zeta Eta Pi Sorority. So we're headed out once again to Harrah's of Philadelphia on the 19th. It's from 6 to 8 p.m. And I would like to invite three ladies who can attend with a friend, 215-263-WMMR. You have to be at least 21 years of age, and we'll get you in. A lot of great products are going to be there for you to not only sample but to take home with you, and also a fashion show, and we will all be there too. Right, Kathy?
Yeah, fashion show by Renee James Boutique in Havertown. Also, a special thank you to Wim Jewelry, the Salt Cave of Doylestown and Newtown, Floral and Hardy, B. Ross, Curry Hair, Skin and Nails, and Extra Boutique in Conshohocken.
All right, so three callers right now, 215-263-WMMR, putting you on the list. We'll be back in a second, and we will get to the B-File when we return, but not before a song from the A to Z, and we are in the section, T-H-E section of the A to Z. We'll be right back.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
The Black Keys. Greta Van Fleet. Five Finger Death Punch.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Hey, you had your sponsorship ready that time.
I did, because I realized it's all printed out now.
Nice. All right. Nice job, Kat. All right, we have the Bizarre File to get to, so here we go.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Gwen and Mercy University, where you can make a difference and a living. Check out their evening open house on Tuesday, September 17th, to learn more about their exciting academics, generous scholarships, and deep commitment to service. You can sign up today at gmercyu.edu. That's gmercyu.edu. Well, a 49-year-old man who had a falling out with a friend was sentenced Tuesday to 3 years of probation. This is a follow-up, by the way, for filling up a plastic toolbox with dog feces and setting it to explode when his former friend opened it.
Yeah.
Rob Alexander Stout told a judge that he went to a wrecking yard, retrieved an old inflatable airbag, and packed it into a toolbox with dog droppings covering it. He said so when it was open, it would just blow dog crap on him. Police
That's
say,
the master plan.
Police say Stout set the device on the back of his former friend's Camaro, and that when his friend fell for the trap, it, quote, exploded with such force that it sounded like an M80 going off, and the dog crap was blown out of the toolbox. Now, the friend wasn't injured. Tuesday, when Judge Edward Jones asked Stout why he did it, Stout explained that he believed his friend was holding on to some tools of his and wasn't going to give them back.
He said, I thought I'd blow him up.
He said, I guess the right way would have been to get a police officer involved. But he said, but you can see my history. I'm not psyched where I'm calling the cops, unfortunately. Stout has 14 previous convictions, 10 felonies and 4 misdemeanors.
So that's why he'd be reticent to call the police.
Yeah, including dealing or manufacturing illegal drugs and attempting to elude police. He said, so I took it upon myself, rather than be violent like I could have been.
Mind you.
He said, you know, on the streets, that's the way a lot of that stuff is handled.
You do your talking with dog poop.
Stout said that he and his friend used to make similar explosive devices together for fun, and that there's 1,000 of these videos of people doing the same thing. Stout said that he wasn't trying to hide the fact that he made the toolbox device and that he didn't think of it as a crime.
One of the few laughs in the movie Men at Work is that. And in fact, they use an airbag.
Yep. He said it was just made to hurt his ego and give me my stuff back. Like a wake-up call.
You know what? I should probably give him his tools back.
The judge said that despite what Stout thought people do go to prison for building devices to explode on other people.
Yes, I've read about that.
And Jones said, we just can't have that. It was a stupid choice and a stupid decision. I realize that now, Stout said. His former friend had arrived in the courtroom. He listened to a little bit, and he later left.
See, he thought he saw a gray area here, Preston, where he was working within the boundaries of the law.
Stout pleaded guilty to unlawful manufacture of a destructive device. Police who searched his home also found a short-barreled shotgun and some methamphetamine while they were there.
So, a ticking time bomb.
But he basically is getting probation for this whole thing. So with the exception of a 2015 conviction of attempted to elude police, his most recent conviction was more than a decade ago. So
he's on the straight and narrow.
He's on the straight and narrow, yep. All right, I'm going to lead this story with a quote.
All right.
All right, and the quote is, I want my mother effing weed back. An Ohio man told the police that at the Sharonville Police Department when he called to report that two police officers had stolen 4 grams of his, quote, prestige weed.
His prestige weed.
The department posted an audio clip of the phone call on his Facebook page as a reminder that the recreational marijuana is not actually legal in the state. He had told the police, I need to do a complaint about two cops. They stole my effing weed last night. His name was redacted to protect his identity. He went on to say, it was only like 4 grams, but it was prestige effing weed. And from what I know, 100 grams is cool, right? Well, the officer on the other side said, you're wrong. And he managed to keep his cool during the call. And he said, the caller said, dude, where have you been the past 2 months? 2 months ago, it got passed that 100 grams, you guys don't take it. No ticket.
Why would a police officer know the law?
The sergeant informed the man that weed is not, in fact, legal in the county. But the caller insists, I'm allowed to have up to 100 grams. I know the law. I know my effing rights. The man spelled out his full name to the cops, but when he realized his mistake, he told the cops his wife's name was Marilyn Manson.
Wow. That's a little too late after giving all the information.
Police posted the
audio. Regardless of whether or not it was prestige weed, Preston.
Police posted the audio with a caption reminding police people that recreational marijuana is still illegal in Ohio.
You got to check out everything. Check out the laws before you start complaining to the cops.
Yeah, probably want to. Did you guys hear this? A 74-year-old woman gave birth.
No.
For the first time to twins, making her the oldest woman to ever give birth.
Wow. 74.
The woman, Aramati Mangayama, and the father.
That's what she was screaming during the birth.
Yeramati Sitaram Rajaro, who is 78 of India, used standard in vitro fertilization.
Wow.
The full-term babies were delivered via C-section on the 5th.
And they were 15 years old.
The couple had tried to conceive through their entire 57-year marriage, but couldn't conceive. Mangayama said that about her infertility, people looked at me with accusing eyes as if I had committed a sin. Neighbors would call me Gadrola. Or Gadralu, which is a curse word for a childless woman.
Really?
However, my husband stood by me like a rock, she said. Her husband said, we are the happiest couple on earth today. We have our own children. They used an egg from a donor and the sperm of the husband.
So what are the health of the kids?
They're doing fine.
Doing fine?
Wow. Yeah. Mangayama got pregnant after one cycle of IVF. Their doctor called the twins a medical miracle.
The wow. twins will be living on their own at the age of 8.
Right.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
You better get ahead of the curve on this.
They would never do that in the United States.
One last story. State police are looking for a man and woman who say they tried to burglarize a house and left their car in the alleged victim's driveway because it wouldn't start when they tried to get away.
This isn't working out.
Troopers said that they were called to a home to respond to a burglary, and they say Jeffrey Paul and Janelle Brink were removing items from the home when they were interrupted by the alleged victim's mother. The two then tried to leave in their car, but it wouldn't start. So they called somebody else to come pick them up while they were there.
Can you pick us up? We're robbing a house and our car broke down.
Troopers say that they had the duo's car towed back to the barracks for evidence, and anybody who knows where Pop and Brink are where they're located is asked to call police.
The police took our car during a robbery.
Yeah. And it had my prestige weed in it. There you go. That's what I have for you in the Bizarre File this morning. Let's take a break. Don't forget, coming up a little bit later on, Kim Wayans is going to be in our studio. She's going to be performing at the Bristol Riverside Theater for an act of God. And she is, a member of the Wayans dynasty.
So yeah.
She's going to be stopping in today. We're going to take a break. Come back in just a moment. Make sure you stay close. We'll be back shortly.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back
back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Over the weekend, I was just digging around for, you know, prep stuff to talk about on the air. And I came across this headline and it says, you know, news anchor files $10 million lawsuit against Facebook, Reddit, Giphy, all these big organizations. And I'm like, okay, I'll click on that and see what that's all about. Dude, it's Karen Hepp.
Yeah, I saw this.
From Fox 29.
I sent it out because it was like, I'm like, what? And then you look at the pictures and I'm like,
yup, it's Karen.
Yeah. It's Karen. Yeah.
Yeah. So the deal was, apparently, these groups, that, according to her lawsuit, were using an image of her without any authorization. And part of what they were using it for were dating and erectile dysfunction ads.
And I saw a porn site, too.
Yes.
Yeah. She was described as a MILF.
Yeah, and exactly.
Did
yeah.
you see the picture? I mean, it's definitely her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's her. She looks good, too.
She does. She looks great.
And it was from like a, was it like a security camera or something like that?
It was like a convenience store. She says that she doesn't exactly remember like taking the photo, but that she was in a convenience store in New York City. And I don't know if somebody else took it, if it was a security camera or what. But yeah, it's just her. It's not like a headshot or a promotional shot. It's just a shot of her in a store.
Yep, exactly. And so I've got the language in the case, which says that she alleges that the defendants usurpation, I don't know, these are legal words, and unlawful use of her image and the unlawful dissemination and publication of her image on various commercial websites has caused irreparable harm, according to the lawsuit. The people in the case are owners and operators of other websites and or media outlets whose true names or capacities are not known. She found out from her coworkers 2 years ago that a photo of her was being used in online ads for dating sites and erectile dysfunction. She learned that the photo was taken by a security camera, it says here, at a New York City convenience store. So I don't know what the deal is because she appears to be smiling. But did not know where or how this had occurred. The lawsuit called that the sexualization of her image and the use of prurient and illicit purposes is abhorrent and disgusting to the point that this has caused serious, permanent, and irreparable harm to her reputation.
Yeah.
So the lawsuit included multiple exhibits showing the online image and how it was used online. On a porn site, the image was included among a MILF gallery. So, yeah. Yeah.
There you go. Uh-huh. $10 million.
So that's, yeah, so damages in excess of $10
million. $10 million.
Yep.
$10 million.
So she's seeking a jury trial, a preliminary and permanent injunction requiring the defendants to immediately remove her image from their sites and accounting of any and all revenue profit the defendants gain from use of the image in question.
So they say that the coworkers became aware of it 2 years ago, right? Kudos to them for being able to.
Yeah.
I would have, you know, sometimes you just pass by pictures and, you know.
Wait, what do you mean? They found out 2 years ago and didn't say anything
No, they did.
Right. Yeah, they did, right? Yeah. They see. So they
were impressively noticing.
And she was made aware of it.
It said Hep found out from her coworkers 2 years ago that the photo of her was being used.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You're saying for being able to, like, see that, to know that it's her.
To just pass by, right. You know, as you're perusing your MILF site or whatever.
Your porn sites.
Yeah, and to say that's Karen. Yeah.
I don't know. I hope she gets the money. I think it's ridiculous.
Totally. You can't, you can't go throwing someone's images around in ads unless you've paid them for that, you know what I mean?
We use a picture of Sammy Hagar without approval. We you pay for a service. You've got to use the pictures that are you're licensed to use.
Yeah.
In fact, we go through a service. Was it Petty Images? Is that what is
Getty.
It?
Getty
Images.
Which, by the way, though, if she were to get that kind of money, which is less than likely, $10 million would be awarded, but that could be the greatest thing to ever happen, wouldn't it?
To her. I was talking about this over the weekend with a friend of mine, and she was like, take my picture, put it wherever you want. She goes, I want in on a lawsuit.
Totally. Totally.
This is the weirdest, though, security picture I've ever seen.
She looks fantastic.
But it's also, it's black and white, so it looks like it would be a security camera, and but it's just weird.
Yeah.
It looks like somebody was like, hey, can I, like, was a fan and was like, hey, can I get a picture of you? And she just kind of
smirked real quick.
And, or yeah, yeah. Do you think there was a setup within this place to secure pictures?
I don't know. You never know. That they were the ones that were passing hot pictures along to.
Because it's framed kind of, well, who knows? Who the hell knows?
I don't know.
All I know is that the likelihood of 10, listen, if she gets $10 million, that's great. But she's going to get something, some settlement.
Yeah.
I would imagine. I mean, so technically Facebook is one of the.
Yeah.
She's going after the.
She's going to get, I bet you she gets a chunk.
Yeah, I hope so. So she gets something. But yeah. I've never known anybody who's had their image used without their permission.
Didn't you have a hot typing teacher that was?
Yeah,
but that was on purpose.
She apparently was in Playboy. I mean, listen, dude, that was
the rumor.
That was the rumor. That was the big myth. Or I don't know if it was true or not that she was hot enough to have been in Playboy. And apparently, somebody left her. picture up on her office one time and it really pissed her off or something like that.
There was a girl in our first calendar at MMR, not the one at Y100. Her name was Amber, and her photos ended up on a lot of different porn sites, and they were PG-13 at best. They weren't dirty photos, but they were actually the photos that she used to submit to be in the calendar, what, 12 years ago, 13 years ago at this point. I think she won Philly's hottest single girl or something like that. Anyway, this is a decade and a half ago almost, but they ended up on a lot of different sites without her permission.
People can just grab pictures off, you know,
and that's what the problem was. They were out there, but she worked pretty hard to get them shut down and taken off. And once that cat is out of the bag, it is so difficult to rope it back in.
Yeah.
Well, it's and on your regular Facebook page, when if you're posting a picture or on your Twitter or whatever, you post a picture. Again, we've gone over this. You don't own those pictures. Once you post on those sites, those pictures belong to them. Yeah. So I'd be curious how this shakes out. But apparently the legal maneuverings have been in full swing for 2 years.
Yeah. So it's coming to light as far as the public eye goes. So interesting. Well, you can't do that. Not cool. And hopefully Karen gets something out of that. Speaking of windfalls and getting something out of something, there was a story that Kathy had in the news earlier this morning about a couple who had, because of a banking error, ended up with $120,000 extra in their account. And, wow, they decided
this is
a sign. This is our money.
And this they must went be and interest.
Spent it.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have that story, Kathy, and what all they had or what all they bought?
Yeah, let
about
me.
Like a camper or something like that?
They bought a camper. They bought a trailer. They bought 2 four-wheelers. They bought a car. They paid off their bills. And then they gave $15,000 to friends who were in need of money.
Oh, that's nice.
Isn't that nice?
I mean, the fact that they were taking some of their own, not their own money.
Yeah, not their own.
Yeah.
What happens to that money, the money that they gave away?
They got to give it back.
So and the friends
are out. I mean,
you're like, hey, listen, remember that $15,000 I gave you?
Uh-huh.
How would you like
I need it back.
How would you like an RV instead?
Dude, why would they think that they can just do that? Like, they knew that, you know, like, I can understand if it was like, yeah, 100, 200, 500 bucks. Like, you know, well, I can see how you wouldn't even know that that wasn't yours, but $120,000?
So when does it fall? So in this case, with the money going into their account, as it was with that ATM that was dispensing money, and then the bank said that the people could keep that. I don't think it was $120,000 that had walked out the door. But still, you know, I guess the perception legally is that you know this is not your money. It suddenly ended up in your account. To spend it is a crime.
I think that ATM story, though, was too complicated to get for them to get the money back. So
they just said that,
yeah.
Steve, it is a crime. They're being charged with felony theft charges.
Whoa.
So, but it looks like they waited a little bit to spend it because it says that they...
They waited a week and a half.
Well, no, they spent the money in two and a half weeks the following month. So I guess they probably waited a little bit to see if it went anywhere. And then... I don't know. I guess decided to.
I mean, you know.
Did they investigate where it came from?
It was the bank's error.
Yeah, so did they do the investigation themselves? Like, I know it was bank error, but like.
Wouldn't you call the bank?
Yeah. Hey.
Well, listen, here's the thing. I was thinking, all right, if all this money was in there, like. I'm like, oh, I don't really blame them. But if it was the other way around, like I would absolutely turn to the bank and say, where's my money? Because it was supposed to go into another account.
Yeah.
And I would rely on the bank to get me my money back. So you can't. I mean,
it's
you just
on
can't.
You. They made a mistake, but it is absolutely 100% on you. It is not your money. You can't take it. It is illegal. And that's all there's to it. And you should know better.
My process of thinking would be maybe I'll return this and hopefully I'll get a reward.
Right. Which you won't.
And that's found money, maybe, possibly.
One time I went to the bank and they gave me $20 extra.
Okay.
And this is a
and you're still on the lam.
No. I went and returned it. Like I
did
went,
you really?
Yeah.
That's because, cool.
Well, you know, like I knew the bank teller. You know, grew up a couple of blocks away from me. So two things. I didn't want her to get in trouble because, like, her register, her drawer is going to be $20 short.
Yep. Where's the 20, you old cow?
Well, I mean, $20 is 20. You know, it's it doesn't matter if it's 25 cents or you know $2,500.
You can get in trouble.
You can get in trouble when your ledger's not proper. So I didn't want her to get in trouble, but then I also didn't want that $20 on my conscience.
When you brought it back, were you wearing a disguise?
Yes. I had a giant eagle outfit,
a giant Hasidic beard.
Listen, I also rely on the bank to get it right. So it happened to me as well. I had no idea they had given me additional money. Same thing. It was like maybe $20 or $40.
Yeah.
I had no idea. And then there was a withdrawal from my account. So I went into the bank and said, why was this taken out? And they said, when you cashed this check, we gave you too much money.
Do you ever withdraw something from an ATM and the money? So you go through the process and the money doesn't come out like on a remote ATM machine.
Yeah.
And then it happened to me. So I got right on that 800 number. And I'm like, this money was not, it did not come out. I don't want this withdrawn from, you know, my checking account. And they were able to correct it right online there.
But I had a friend who was talking into the camera because that happened. And she was like,
What the hell happened?
No, but the bank was closed. She couldn't go into the bank.
Oh.
So she was like, I'm here. Look at me. I didn't get my money. Like she wanted to make sure it was like on some
look
sort
at
of
me.
Camera.
Right. I walked in like this.
Right.
Wow. She reenacted it. Yeah, but because you don't know what to do.
Yeah. 215-263-WMMR, if you've had something similar happen where you ended up with all this extra, by an error, extra money. Did you keep it? Did you give it back? And if you did give it back, did they give you something, you know? Just curious. So let me go to Anthony, who works for a bank. Hi, Anthony. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. Sorry to bother you at work.
It's all good, buddy. What's up?
So I actually work for Citizens Bank, and this actually just happened recently. We had a customer who went to deposit money at the bank, and then there was a person behind them, and something happened with the ATM, and the person in front of this person, their money actually got deposited into the wrong account. And the person came up to me, and he had $1,800 in his account. He said, I don't know where this came from. And we told him it was an error. Don't touch the money. The money's going to be withdrawn out of the account. And he said, well, I'm going to use the money. It's your fault. You guys shouldn't have done this. And we're like, it's not our fault, but legally, in the documents you sign when you open up your bank account, it's in the disclosures.
I thought
not
so.
No one reads disclosures, but here he spent the money. We withdrew the money out of his account, so his account went negative $1,800, and he actually has to pay all that money back that he used. And we actually froze his accounts, froze all of his assets, and said, well, we can't do anything until you pay us the money.
So, Anthony, and that's what I was conjecturing earlier, is that when you sign up for your account, you fill out the paperwork for your account with the bank. In that print, which you would imagine would be there, of course, the bank would want to cover their asses, that anything like this happens, they're not, you know, you're liable to let them know that, or you're responsible to let them know that there's this extra money in your account, or however it works out in your favor.
Yeah, correct.
Right.
And basically, it was not his money, and it's not yours to spend. And the bank actually has the right to go into anyone's account and withdraw the money that wasn't theirs.
Let me ask you, in a scenario where someone were, say, in this case, do you think if they had said, hey, there's a $120,000 discrepancy, we wanted to make you aware of it, would the bank have offered up some sort of reward?
Not necessarily, because it is, I get what you're saying, it is a bank error, but we have the legal right, and we're actually insured by the FDIC, the federal government, to actually cover our asses. So that
right. Could you give them a few pens with chains on them?
Yeah.
Those are kind of cool.
Yeah.
So, Steve, they did withdraw the money. There was no money there, but from these people's account, and it went to the correct account. So now there's, like, overdraft fees
that they're responsible for now. Yeah. Plus, they're facing felony charges.
Right.
Here's a text from somebody who says, I got an extra apple pie with my McDonald's order, and I gave it back. These people keep $120,000? You kidding me? Here's another one. It says, I deposited a check for $150,000 when buying my new house. The bank credited me $1.50, and it was a big, big problem.
Oh my God, $150,000, and they only got $1.50 credit?
$1.50, yeah.
I assume the sale still went through.
I'm guessing maybe it did. Yes, Kath.
No, so the article says that the couple that court documents show after two initial phone calls from the bank, the couple had no contact with the bank representative. So initially they spoke to the couple. They said that they were going to do what they can. They'll go on a payment plan to pay it back. And then I guess they stopped taking their phone calls and they said now the couple is facing felony charges. So I wonder if they had been in contact with the bank and had continued to work with them if they then wouldn't have been charged.
And probably would have been the case.
Here's a good hypothetical that comes in from a texter. What if they took that money, went to the casino, bet it on black, won? Did they get to keep the money that they won?
Ooh.
So, let's ask this. So add this into it. The casino is now a complicit in a crime because it's except that money was illegal money. It was stolen money. Mm. Where does that fall?
That's a good question. That's a really good
and
scenario,
I bet
though.
You, knowing the casino would probably go, bygones. Mm. Yeah. Or maybe they'd say, hey, we want our money back.
I'm going to go to Tom. Hey, Tom, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up, man?
When I was in college, I worked as a bank teller during the summers. I would get sent to different branches depending on where they needed, people to fill in. One particular summer, though, I got sent to the same branch, all summer. I was getting paid through a temp agency, but that particular branch would have me sign in every day, and I got paid that summer through the bank as well. So I got paid double.
So you got paid from the temp agency and from the bank?
And the bank the entire summer.
Okay.
It never came up. I never said anything.
Do you believe that was just an oversight? I mean, when you work through a temp agency, it's the temp agency that's paying you.
Well, I said something to that branch when I first started and said, I get paid through this agency. Do you still want me to sign in? And they said, yes, we just need it for our records. But whatever they then paid me. So for a summer, I think I was the highest paid bank teller.
Yes.
So
good for you.
It's not worth it, though. I mean, honestly, ultimately, is that worth me going to jail, having a record?
It's just not. And I always assume that I will be the guy who will end up in extra apple pie jail.
Yeah.
Right. For, what are you in for? I kept the apple pie.
I had somebody offer a jailbroken Fire Stick. Amazon Fire Stick. Oh, you can get all the movies. And I'm like, dude,
no.
I don't want to be the guy who goes to jail for watching The Avengers.
Local
on my
broadcaster Casey Foster was sent to prison today.
No, thank you.
For stealing Sprout.
I'm going to go next to Billy. Hey, Billy.
Hey, guys. Sorry to bother you at work.
That's all good. What's up, Billy?
Thanks. So I guess it was about a year ago, my husband and I decided to go on a cruise. And we pulled some check out of another bank and took it to a bank to get cashed. The bank that we took it to, I didn't have an account with. So there was no account to tie my name to. The check was rather large. It was for several thousand dollars. When I got out to the car, I'm counting, and there's an extra $500 here. I counted again, and there's still an extra $500 here. Turns out they never caught it. They never found out. We took the money. We stuffed it aside in case they came back looking for it. We got an extra $500 to take on our cruise.
Wow.
How long ago was that?
Yeah. About a year ago, I was a nervous wreck. I'm just like Casey. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to get caught. I'm going to end up in jail. And my husband was like, baby, he's like, they don't have an account to tie your name to it. They don't know where this money went.
Yeah, didn't you have to sign the back of the check?
I just signed the back of the check and I handed them the check, but there was no account for them to be like, okay, this transaction happened for this account, I guess. I guess that's why they couldn't figure out where it went.
Is there any portion of the night that you spend thinking, I wonder if they're still looking? I wonder if they're looking for me. I wonder if they're can I anticipate a knock at the door at some point?
Right. I was.
Yeah. Are you past that now, or do you still kind of get a little nervous?
No. We're so way past that. I mean, we took the money out about 2 weeks before we left to go on the cruise. And like I said, we put it off to the side in case they found out. And they didn't say anything, so we took it and we spent it.
So,
and if it was a small place, a little mom-pa type place, I'd have been in there handing it back in a second. But this is a big corporate bank.
I mean, technically, it's a crime. what you did.
Oh, it is. Billy. It is. I know.
There's plenty of people who probably would have done what she did.
Yeah. I know.
Hey,
I
Billy, know. We're tracing your phone call. The authorities are there. Just a moment.
Thanks, Billy.
Awesome. Thanks,
good luck
guys.
With your life and crime.
Billy.
Here's a text from somebody. It says, back in the 90s, was balancing my checking and savings account the old-fashioned way with my statements and had an extra $110,000 in my savings. Called the bank immediately, and apparently it was a dentist office deposit. They had coded it with my account number, and I'd have been terrified to spend that.
What percentage do they have? Do banks entertain a certain percentage of money where they'll just say, like a
give or take
expected
thing?
Loss?
Yeah,
and
maybe
they just let that go. They cover it.
Maybe that's where the 500
as opposed to 120,000.
Right.
Can people? No, I guess you can't do that. I was going to say like benefactors. If somebody wanted to mysteriously give you money, they can't. Yeah, they couldn't
put a deposit into your account.
They can't do that through the bank. No, that would be dumb. That allowing people to.
I think just give them like a $120,000 Dunkin' card.
Yeah, there you go. This is going to take care of you for the rest of your life.
Yep.
That's a new way to launder money.
$120,000 in Dunkin' credit.
A lot of lattes.
Hang on, I don't understand. Some of these, I'm looking at the descriptions here. I'm going to go to Dawn. Hi, Dawn, good morning.
Good morning. Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, what's up, Dawn?
Well, for years, I've had $12,000 on my bank statements. It's like an IRA investment thing, and I've told them it's not my money. I've told them for years, and it still sits there. It's $12,000, and it's not mine.
Dawn, let me ask you. So, and if anybody knows, do you have any?
Yeah, like, are you sure?
You've gone to them. You've tried to alert them time and time again. Is there any writing or signed
paper trail.
Or paper tail or recording of you telling them? So, in other words, so that you're absolved from this.
All of a sudden, no, I don't know, because I've told them several times, like when I've discussed other things. I said, look, there's money on my account. It's not mine. You got to get it off. What are you going to do? And they said, okay, we'll take care of it. And they never take care of it.
What
happened was when I went to go make an investment, somehow they put somebody else's money in a separate account on my statement. But it's only online. If I get my my statement in the mail, it's not on that statement. It's only online in my account.
So it's only existing, in cyberspace.
Then it's not real money, and you can have it, Dawn. Congratulations.
That's what I keep thinking, but it's not under my Social Security number, so I'm not going to be able to take it.
Oh.
You don't want that to F up. That's sort of weird. Thing would haunt me is like, wait. This is an anomaly, and you don't want it to grow into something even more complex.
Yeah.
And if they can't get that together.
What you need to do, Dawn, is make sure that you email the managers over there and get a response from them. And once you have something written, you're covered, so they don't come someday and say, what's with this $12,000 here? Are you trying to pull a fast one, you know? So. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Thanks,
all right, well,
Dawn.
Good luck.
Yep. Did you guys know, I'm fairly certain you can actually deposit money into your bank account through an ATM. They have those envelopes there.
Yes.
You put the money in the envelope and then you throw it in there. Yeah. So
through an ATM.
Yes. Yeah,
you can deposit checks with your phone too.
So I don't know exactly how this worked. I know somebody who he ended up getting arrested for this, but he was depositing empty envelopes into the ATM and then taking out money. I don't know how this worked because why would you?
So what was he doing again, Casey?
I guess he was depositing a quote unquote check into the ATM through the little. So if you go to an ATM, they have envelopes, bank envelopes there, and you can put a check in there and then throw that into the ATM and then take the cash out.
Yeah, if you work in the service industry and you get a lot of cash tips, it's a great way to deposit cash directly into your account using the envelope.
You can also, I think, do it with checks because to me it wouldn't make any sense to say you're depositing cash and then take out cash. But basically, you're using the ATM, you're using a check in the ATM instead of an ATM card. And so
he was working the system.
He thought he was working the system, didn't realize that he ended up getting pinched for it.
All right. See,
that's not like a mistake. That's just straight up theft. But
Hang on a second here. Moral dilemma, it says. I'm going to Cammy. Hi, Cammy. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's up, Cammy?
So, okay, I'm having this dilemma with myself. I work for a small business, and I got a piece of equipment that I need to use. Something that I said that I wanted from before. Anyway, I told them I paid for it when really I got it for free. Just to seem like, oh, I paid for it. No big deal. You don't have to pay me back. But they insisted that they pay me back for it. And at that point, I couldn't tell them that I had lied, that I paid for it. So I took the
$25.
$25? Oh, my God. The authorities are on the way.
Like, you know, I thought it was like a laptop. Like
Cammy, yeah, like we're retracing your phone call. The authorities are on the
way. Oh, my God. Relax. It's $25.
Cammy, you're okay.
Fine. Yeah.
It's $25.
Okay. It was only $25. No big deal. They're like, no, we got to pay you back for it.
So, I thought she was going to say, like, it was a top level MacBook Pro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what I was thinking. A computer. That's exactly.
That wouldn't even cover, like, you know, printer paper.
It's like a.
It's a set of pint glasses or something like that. You know, like $25.
You're fine. Yeah. You're fine.
In fact, post-it notes and pens.
I encourage you to steal more from them.
Yes, please do. Yeah. Thank you, Cam.
Let me ask you this: because
moral dilemma solved.
I know somebody who has an electric car, has a Tesla, and is in sales. And is able to write off miles for sales, but he's writing off miles that he's not putting on, like, you're supposed to get miles for gas, and he's not using any gas because it's not a gas car.
Okay. But he is, if he's charging it, he's charging, say, like, he charges it at home, he's paying for the electricity he's using to charge it, so he's paying for coal.
Yeah. I mean, if he's charging at home, because they have charging stations.
Well, what's he doing?
He's
selling drugs.
No, I mean...
Does he claim to have a gas car?
It's not that he's claiming that to have a gas car, but he's doing this. So I don't know. But when he was telling me this, I didn't know. I'm like, whoa, can you get in trouble for that?
Well, what the delineation is between they're saying miles for gas. It's the way it's been reckoned now. How do they delineate between that and the rate for an electric car?
Right.
I don't know.
I don't know either. He also has like solar power too. So he's not even like. Paying for the...
This guy's a creep.
No, it's great. It's
using natural resources. Jeez. Creep.
Well, no, so the power that he's using to power his car is, like, free as well. But And it's a really, really great way to gain the system. But, God, I would hate for him to, like, get in trouble
for
that.
Well, you better not. If he gets caught, they're going to arrest the son.
I'm going to go next to Betty. Hey, Betty.
Hey, good morning. You guys rock.
Thank you, Betty. What's up?
Back in 2000, I got a nice chunk of change deposited into my account. And I was not contacted by the bank. And like any 20-year-old would do, I spent it.
All right. So were you ever contacted back? Was there ever any ramifications or repercussions for this?
Nothing. I had that checking account for several years. After and nothing.
How long ago was this?
20 years ago.
Twenty years ago. Wow, and it was a decent amount of money, huh?
I can't quite remember as I'm in my 40s now, but it was either $1,400 or $1,800.
Okay.
And for me,
God, for a 20-year-old, that's a ton of cash.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, yeah. So I spent it like any 20-year-old would. Do.
On pot.
What'd you get? What'd you buy?
I don't remember.
Okay. Nice. Money well spent.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate the call. Yeah, it happens sometimes. I think they're probably a little bit more able to track that stuff down now. But hang on. I want to go to Toby's mom robbed a bank, I think, here.
Oh, my God.
Hi, Toby. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey.
What's up, Toby?
So I'm not from this state, so I'm not going to say where I'm from. But when I was in junior high, I'm the youngest of four kids, and my mom was a manager at a bank.
Yeah.
She, over the 4 years period, she ended up stealing over $250,000.
Whoa!
She was embezzling money from the bank.
What's that?
She was embezzling from the bank.
Oh, yeah. So they had to close the bank. The branch ended up closing down, and nobody knew why. And then after a year, my mom's conscience got to her. She ended up turning herself in. But
so what happened?
I lived in large for about 4 years. It was fun.
So what? Tell us jail time. What happened?
Actually, I'm going to jail for like a year.
All right, 250 wow. grand.
Toby, how was she stealing it? Do you know?
So she was the manager of the branch. She was the last one out, first one in. She was alone in the vault all the time, and you know.
So she was just taking cash.
Oh yeah!
Wow!
To the tune of 250 grand.
Yeah, 250 grand. I was in junior high at the time, and every weekend I had at least $200 in my pocket. All my friends didn't know what was going on, but
wow! Did you know at the time that she was doing that?
No, we didn't know until, like I said, a year after it closed and she told us. And
did she tell you guys first before she went to the authorities?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, she did.
And what was your thought when she told you that?
I mean, I was 14, so at the time, I'm just like, okay, well, that makes sense as to why I have all this money. All my friends like to hang around me, so.
Yeah, goodbye, awesome allowance. Right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Jesus.
Wow, that's wild, Toby.
That's okay. Effed up. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, you imagine, Preston, some people in that situation, I don't know if that's part of a of the hiring process, if there's some sort of subtle psychological process when you have someone who is around an open vault with money and things like that. You know, who amongst us can say conclusively that... Mm-hmm. You know, you're there, and it's right there.
Yeah.
Would you?
I could just
grab
that and go.
It's like, though, you know, the, like in an office space, the scan that's just peeling pennies off the dollar.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how these things happen.
Yeah.
I always firmly believe that whatever the infraction, I will get caught. So that's always prevented me from,
exactly.
I'm too much of a pussy to do anything.
Did you hear about a lot of times like treasurers and so on of charity organizations?
Yeah.
They'll just skim right off the top because they're the ones that know they have the numbers and they can fudge the numbers and they know where the money is and it happens. Man.
Eventually,
it happens quite
though. A bit. Yeah. You would like to believe they get caught and a lot of them do. So there has to be many who don't.
I'll bet there's loads who don't. Yeah. Let's go to Max, who works at a bank. Hey, Max, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Sorry to bother you at work.
It's all good, man. What's up?
So, this didn't happen to me, but it happened to a manager of mine where she was a teller, and she had been working a long day, I guess. I'm not sure, but a guy came in, deposited a couple grand in cash. She accidentally gave him the cash back after saying, yes, it's in his accounts. Later on that night when they were counting on the drawer, they saw her drawer was short a couple thousand dollars. The only reason she didn't get fired immediately was because her manager knew her. She just put her on, like, correct, like, fine, this is your final written warning thing. They tracked, they noticed the guy went to another branch and deposited the cash. So he got a double deposit.
Uh-huh.
I just wanted to say, if it happens to anybody at a teller, it's maybe a bank, a faceless corporation, but the tellers, they will get in trouble.
A good point.
No, you're absolutely right about that. The people are just working, you know, working hard. So, all right, thanks, Max. Let me see. I have a couple people on hold for a long time. Let me go to Landon here. Hey, Landon, good morning.
Morning. How you doing?
Good, man. What's up?
Nothing much. So back when, you know, I was in high school, one of my best friends, Damon, God rest his soul now, me and him, after a long night of partying, went to our local grocery store. And when we went there, they just put in self-checkouts, and I don't like those things to begin with. But we went down there, we paid for our stuff, it was like 16 and change, and for every single dollar it was supposed to dispense, we got a $20 bill back.
Oh, my God.
Yes. So we probably paid for two or three different transactions, and then one of our friends from school came in, and we told her about it, and she made two transactions, and then we all left. All said and done, we got like $400.
Wow.
Were you discovered?
Yeah, that we got back from the single dollar bills.
Well, did they find out? Did we
get in trouble?
Yeah.
Oh, no. The best part is I actually went there 2 weeks later and applied for a job.
And kept putting money in that self-checkout.
Absolutely, man. That's
They had no idea. I don't even think they still know about it, but they've changed the self-checkout a year after that. And
sure. Stopped them from dispensing 20s for singles.
Wow.
Oh, it was a great time. And
sure.
A high school kid, that's like the jackpot.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's a money machine.
You don't
machine.
Think about it. Yeah.
No.
It's funny because when I was a kid one time, my buddy and I, our families were we were vacationing somewhere in a hotel, and we found a vending machine that whoever restocked it didn't lock it and close it.
So
it was open.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So we, you know, first thing we did is we, you know, just took a couple things out.
Tampons.
And then, no, it was, you know, snacks and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, a few minutes later, we head back down there and we go get some more. And we ended up cleaning the entire thing out.
Of course you did.
Yeah, right?
You were kids, right?
Yeah, but like his, you know, self-checkout thing where the 20s are coming out, you can only go so many times and eventually you're going to get busted. We didn't get busted, though.
It's funny, though, like when you think about, like, Bernie Madoff, you know,
yeah.
and over the...
Oh, God.
Where you're just staggering amounts, you're shifting and covering, and yet he's appears to be blissfully, you know, living the life, just not even entertaining the notion that eventually it's all going to come crashing down.
I just remember in college, our washer-dryer in our fraternity house, there was a hammer on the washing machine because you would put the quarters in and it would go click, 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 three clicks, and then you would get the claw of the hammer and you yank the change thing back. The washing machine would start
and
you got your quarter. You kept your quarter.
How long did that last?
Oh, the entire year.
So
maybe even 2 years.
Did the hammer just sit out on the
hammer? Just sat there.
Use the hammer.
Of course.
Oh my God.
Don't know who figured it out, but.
That's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Well, interesting. Well, this couple is in quite a bit of trouble. $120,000 credited to their account. They waited about a month, and then they just started buying stuff.
What did they buy again, Kathy?
They bought a car, a trailer, a camper, four-wheelers, and $15,000 to friends.
Wow.
Who needed some money. Oh, and they paid some bills and stuff like that off. They owe the bank $107,000.
They blew it out.
Yeah, probably in your best interest to report that information, and don't try to be tempted by what appears to be free money. I would like to give away some free beer as we're taking a break. I'll take call number 15 at 215-263-WMMR and WMMR. I'll give you a case of Yard's Loyal Lager. Crisp, clean American craft lager. You can pick up Philly's hometown lager at Yard's Brewery and wherever Yard's beers are sold, including Raven Lounge in Philadelphia. So go ahead and give us a call. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a moment. Scheduled to have Kim Wayans in our studio in just a little bit. Talk to her about the show coming up at the Bristol Riverside Theater. Stay with us. The Back to School A to Z rages on as well.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, The Good Mess. Celebrating our area's best talent, bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Hear and see more at WMMR.com, keyword local shots. It's becoming an assured destruction. The Good Mess. It's becoming the end that ends it all. Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks our world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
In our studio, we have yet another member of the Wayans family dynasty. Not that long ago, we had Sean by, and Marlon was here, and we've had everybody
Kenan and
the crew.
It's been great.
Over the years, we love the relationship with the family, and she is in to perform the show An Act of God, which is going to be starting September 17th at the Bristol Riverside Theater, and this is our first time meeting Kim Wayans.
Yeah.
Is here this morning.
Everyone.
Welcome to Philadelphia,
Kim.
Oh,
thank you.
Nice to see you.
Nice to be here.
So we were just talking about Sean and his, you know, the sextuplets.
Marlon.
I'm sorry, Marlon. God, right? There's so many,
so many
people
them,
in
I
your
know.
Family.
I know.
Those
Tell
are the only two that I ever mix up.
I mix up the names.
Well, it's Kenan, Damon Sr., Marlon, Sean, and we have, and Nadia is the one who doesn't, she does not perform, right? Is
that no.
The okay, all right.
No, so. I have four sisters. That don't perform.
Oh, no kidding.
Okay. Oh, yeah,
there's
my
10 of
God.
Us.
Wow. Involved in the business at all?
No. Nope.
Okay.
No. Nope.
Right.
Five is enough.
All right.
So to Preston's point, yeah, but he was in promoting sextuplets, uh-huh. which is fun on Netflix, and we were talking off air about what a nightmare it was for him to do that. But you've been in many of the movies going all the way back, and I remember you in all of the films. But, I mean, do you, to that point of confusion with Preston, Do you ever jumble up names? Do you ever forget? I mean, it has to be, right? It
at
has
this
to be
point in my life, yes, I do. Yes, I do. And it's not just the 10 brothers and sisters. There's like 40-something nieces and nephews.
Yeah.
So
wow.
At this point, it's just you, child, this one over here, and...
Do you guys ever have a reunion, a full-on where, all right, we're all getting together?
Oh, yeah, hard. Every Thanksgiving.
No kidding.
Really?
Yeah, okay.
It's got to be hard.
Every Thanksgiving.
Wow.
You know what's hard?
Yeah.
Being the cook, yeah. And that's me.
That's you.
Really?
That's me. Three huge turkeys. Oh, forget about it. I need like 4 days to get ready for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. It's got to be a massive
undertaking. You know, dishes are probably worse than cooking, though, too.
The what?
Doing the dishes afterwards.
Oh, well, I don't bother with that.
Yeah.
No.
The cook does not.
No, the cook shouldn't have to, and yep. I don't. Yep. I don't. I tell them little nieces and nephews, y'all have to go on in there and get in help.
So what you're in here for is an act of God, and I was not familiar, but this comes from, is David, is it Haverbaum or
Javerbaum? Javerbaum.
Javerbaum, a writer for The Daily Show,
mm-hmm.
And he was sort of influenced by this Twitter series where basically God is writing new commandments to because of what he's not happy with the way everything is, and he thinks there needs to be new things addressed. Is that basically the core of it?
Yeah, that's basically the gist of the play.
Yeah, yeah. And so how did you come by being brought into this?
Well, actually, it was an offer. Susan Atkinson, the director over at the Bristol Theater, made me an offer, and I read the play, and I thought it was hilarious, and I thought it would be a great challenge, and I had been wanting to do some more theater. And so I said, yeah.
Yeah. So, you've done like children's books and things as well as the multitude of movies and shows that we've talked about. You know, for the deal, is live theater something you've done a fair amount, or is this you getting your feet wet?
I'm relatively new. This is my third time doing a live theatrical production. I did a one woman show, then I did Barbecue at the Public Theater a few years ago, and this is like my first time starring in a theatrical production. So this is my third run.
That's pretty cool. To me, it always seems to be, and it's the thing that always we talk about, because we sort of talk extemporaneously for about 5 hours, you know, Monday to Friday, and that's our deal. When you're remembering dialogue, and I know you've done it for movies and so on and so forth, but there's a big leap from television and film to you have to do it all live. Is that terrifying initially, or do you just go?
You just go. It's not. What's terrifying is the process of trying to remember everything. But once it's in there, then you just go and you just trust. But it is a challenge. You know, it's like 40 pages of dialogue that you know, you have to absorb and know.
Well, I was going to mention, you know, I mean, if you miss a line here and there or something like that, you can make that up. You can make it way along. But see, I would like skip an entire section by accident or something like
that. I know
that.
I would.
And then what do you do? You know?
Then I'm God. You freeze the
right,
world.
There you go.
You go backwards and you get that chunk that you missed.
I mean, it's got to be cool. So it's irreverent, but it's, from what I was reading about it, it's got something, no matter where you stand from, you know, believer or non-believer or whatever, it's something's going to speak to you with this.
Yeah, I think so. I think so, you know, which is one of the reasons why I responded to it. You know, I think it stimulates interesting conversation, you know, about the different ways in which we think of God and how much we project our own humanness onto a divinity.
Yeah.
And that's not always such a great thing. You know, if God is just like you, well, we're all in trouble.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I don't want him to be like me.
I don't want him to be like me.
Too many issues. When you started working with the family, and what was your first? Was the first film you were in? Was it Gonna Get You, Sucker?
I'm just trying to think back. The very first thing I did, yes, was I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker.
And you're the nightclub singer singing When the Saints Come Marching In.
Yes, I'm that nightclub singer.
And that was a... So the thing is that, you know, I'm sure there are initial, like, nepotism and so on and so forth, but you're also talented. Did that go away quickly?
Well, you notice there's only five of us in showbiz.
Right.
All right?
Yeah.
So I don't think the other five didn't try.
Oh.
But you had to have talent in order to get the nepotism. You can't just get the nepotism without the talent.
Yeah, but it all worked. It was all good.
It did all work.
Did you do writing as well with the
Oh, yeah. I used to write, like, almost all the sketches I did on Living Color. I wrote those.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
So Benita Betrell, all those sketches I wrote myself, but I didn't get writer's credit.
Did you write on Damon's sitcom as well?
well?
Yes, I did. I was a writer producer on Wife and Kids.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And director.
Wow.
Okay. How about your one
woman? She's a Renaissance woman.
How about your one woman show?
Yeah, I wrote that as well.
Okay, so that was all you.
That was all me. That was all mine, all me, and it was amazing. I had the most amazing time doing that show, and one of these days I want to bring it back because it didn't have the life that it should have had because I got distracted.
Right.
But, you know, it's one thing about a one-woman show is it's just yours forever.
Yeah.
So you just can do it whenever.
That's true. Man, that's a lot hanging out there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If you're stepping out solo on stage, all your material, you've written it, you perform it, you present it. That's got to be a little, I mean, for the person who's not used to that type of attention, it's got to be, I'd go insane. You
know? We're trembling now thinking about having to remember all that stuff.
Well,
yeah.
The thing is, you know, that's the way you're drawn. When you're a performer, that's in
it's what you. Love
so
to do,
that's what you love to do. So it's like to get in that position is like heaven to me. You know, it's not that you don't have like fears and vulnerabilities, but you just push past all that and you just tell your story.
Yeah. I mean, you have weeks and months and all that to get it all down and you have your beats and all that sort of stuff. So it's not, I mean, when you have that much time to get it all down, it's not,
I know,
I don't think just, as daunting.
It, 3 weeks is not
okay,
that
3 weeks
time.
Is not that
and
much
we have
time.
A 3 week rehearsal period for this show. I'm
all right, well, then never mind. I was going back to my high school days where I had the entire summer to memorize dialogue and then, you know, 2 months after that.
But say, you know, when you're doing stand up though, like, you know, immediately if you're doing well or you're bombing, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, because you're getting a response from the audience.
Mm-hmm.
With a stage show, I guess you don't know until maybe the end. You can have an idea of, all right, I think I did pretty good. But not knowing what they think about it.
Yeah, you don't know. You don't know. But you really can't approach it that way. You have to be in it. You just have to be in the story that you're telling. Do you know what I mean? You have to, like, divorce yourself from, you know, who's liking it, who's not liking it, who's getting it, who's not getting it, or else you can't do your job.
Because you'll sabotage yourself.
Yeah, you'll sabotage yourself.
So do you care about, I mean, what a critical response is? Or, I mean, if the audience, like, we were talking about this. We talked about this with every one of your brothers about things that I think, like, any number of movies that might have been, the critics might have jumped on that went on and did great that the audience loves.
Mm-hmm.
And so can you divorce yourself from that and know that it's not the end all these days?
You have to.
Yeah.
You have to, or else you'll go crazy. You know what I mean? If your sense of well-being and sense of feeling good about yourself is dependent upon what, you know, a few people have to say about your work, you'll go crazy.
You know what I noticed also with the new Joaquin Phoenix film, the Joker, he has this movie, The Joker, and it's just being universally praised.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's one reviewer that comes out that's ripping it apart, and that gets a lot of attention. I think it's like Rex Reed, who's like the eternal curmudgeon.
Yeah.
He's got to hate everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to realize a lot of these guys, they build their deal, you know, is to be the contrarian.
Yeah.
So it's all part of the deal. Like the way we use Rotten Tomatoes, you know, a lot of directors and stuff like that were sort of critical. I think the way to use that is, okay, there's a suggestion, but you don't go see it yourself and see what you think.
The thing is, I always tell other actors and stuff, you know, just focus on your work.
Yeah.
You know, focus on your work. You can't control any of that stuff. And the thing about reviews, if they're good, it gets in your head. Mm-hmm. If it's bad, it gets in your head.
Yeah.
So your best bet is to just focus on your work, and that's that.
So with this, you're doing 28 performances?
Yes.
Okay. And then is the plan to move this along perhaps to Broadway?
No, I don't have any commitment to do it further than this thing right here.
But you also, and I mentioned the kids' books earlier, which is what is the name of it?
It's Amy Hodgepodge.
Right. So she is. Explain the story, because I think it's really cute.
She's a multiracial little fourth grader who starts moves to a new town and starts a new school after being homeschooled her entire life.
Okay.
So it's her adventures, you know, through trying to make friends and adjusting to a new environment and all that kind of stuff.
Do you love doing this?
Oh, I do.
Yeah.
I do. We have 6 books in this series so far.
How did you find out, or who did you consult about homeschooled kids to get an idea of where that comes from?
A lot of my little nieces and nephews were homeschooled, and actually this little Amy Hodgepodge is inspired by my little niece. I didn't tell her for the longest time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, right. Yeah, because I didn't want her to get in her head, you know, oh, I have a book series about me. You know, but she's in college now, so she can handle it.
Okay. Oh, that's cool. Yeah. That's awesome. So, one of your brothers is doing kids' books as well, is he not?
Oh, really? Which one? I told you, I get confused. We don't, you know, no, there's so many.
We just, correct me if I'm wrong, guys. Am I not having a brain fart here? Someone else...
I don't know.
We've had a lot of weigh-ins through here.
Man, well, there's.
I mean,
you have your hands on all kinds of stuff, animation.
Yeah, and,
that's
yeah.
it.
Sean.
Sean.
Yeah. Sean has a kid show. Sean has a book series and also animated series called The Boo Crew.
Yes.
And yeah, it's great. It's really great.
That's got to be a little bit of a cool vein to tap into because it's If you can speak to a younger an audience that you're not routinely used to speaking to, that's got to be cool.
It is great. And Sean, it's like he was inspired by, we were little, like Snoopy, the Snoopy. Yeah. And this is a really cool, oh, you see it. Yeah, the Boo Crew, it's so adorable. Yeah. I'm really proud of him. He's actually getting ready to do the first live show with the Boo Crew Live back in Los Angeles.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, a movie, right? It's got. I mean, at some point,
it will be.
It will be.
Wow.
I wanted to. Go ahead, Preston.
I was going to ask. So, in An Act of God, by the way, if you're just tuning in, it's Kim Wayans who is here, and the show An Act of God is going to be at the Bristol Riverside Theater. It opens on the 17th. How many people are in the show in the cast?
Three people.
Okay.
Wow. God and her two angels.
Okay. So it's mainly.
See, that's what I'm talking about with all the dialogue and stuff. Yeah, you know, it's like lot. You know. Yeah. It's not me and a big cast of characters. It's me and two other people.
Okay.
So the graphic that is on the artwork that we got for the show is the classic angel or cherub, I guess, that you would see. I guess it's on the Van Halen cover. Is it not the same?
Yeah, 1984.
Smoking a cigarette.
Does social media come into play in God's assessment of what's going on in the world?
No.
No? Okay. No. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, no.
Because I know that the play was inspired, it says here, by a Twitter persona called the Tweet of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I didn't know if we got into the world of social
media.
No,
he doesn't.
My guess is he would not, or he or she or whatever, would not have a favorable take on it in the general sense.
No, I don't think she would.
Yeah, I know you have a Twitter account. You all do, you know, but It can be great, but it can also be a liability.
Yeah.
Yeah, because people get trapped in that. I wanted to ask you, because you've worked on some of the shows you worked on, obviously, with LL Cool J in the house.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like? Because we've had him on the show. He seems like a super cool guy, and he's known to be. Was that...
LL is the best.
Really?
He really is. He's a great guy. He's a great, great guy, and I had so much fun with him. I mean, he's just... he's really special because, you know, he's so cool and... You know, he's like a very cool person, but he's also just a good guy. Solid family man, really into his family, into his beautiful wife, and just a joy to work with.
I thought so, you know, like when he hosted the Grammys, he was hosting the Grammys, he was just doing a great job. But his, you know, that whole approach, you know, to the way he, whenever he does something like that, you say, can he handle this? He is able to handle it. You came in on the second season of that show?
Yes.
And when you join a show, is that kind of weird to come in, you know, when you come into a pre-existing cast? And
Well, the thing is, I came in as a guest star.
Yeah.
I came in and did two guest star episodes, and they liked it so much that they...
Kept it going.
Yeah, they kept it going and turned her character into a regular. So I kind of eased into it, and they were very happy to have me. You know, it's like I brought a new jolt of life and excitement to what they were doing, and everybody was very welcoming and very... loving, and that was a really, really great experience.
And A Different World was kind of the same. You were a recurring character.
I was what's called an under five, and that's like a filler character, like somebody like when you need a transition line, you like give that person
under five lines.
Under five, you call it under five.
Oh,
under
that's
five
funny.
Lines.
Wow.
So I used to try to stretch out every line, and I remember once the creator of the show, Ann Beach, she pulled me aside and she was like, "Look, Allison, I know you're just under five, but you better stop milking your lines, okay?" I was like, "He is
Ann Beach is legendary. She comes from National Lampoon and SNL, and that's cool. Mm-hmm. That cast was. I mean, that was a time. You're not talking that long ago, but the difference now between you ask somebody, you're watching a particular show, chances are they're not. Everyone had, there's so much to watch. But at that time, that was huge.
Yeah, it was huge.
You know, going back all the way to the beginning and Living Color and all that stuff, those shows had tremendous audiences. And then now you don't see that much. When you were on that show, when you started to appear, even within Living Color, and you walked out and about, could you? Was there a tangible difference in you getting recognized? I mean, did it just immediately happen?
Oh, for sure. Living Color, we were like rock stars. It was too much. You know, it was too much. It was like fun for like, you know, 2 minutes to be recognized, and then it was like, leave me alone.
Really? Did it get scary? You know?
Yeah. It was really, really overwhelming.
Yeah.
You know. Thankfully,
you got over that.
Yeah, I've got over it, and now, you know.
Yeah.
Now, you know, it's funny because celebrity has a different kind of thing now. It's like now nobody gives a poop about you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because of social media and stuff, and there's such a familiarity these people that they used to be like this big distance from and excitement about. So now, you know, it's like.
Yeah, you get a closer bit of access, or at least it feels like it. Yeah,
do you think that's a good thing, or is that? With everything, you have to be smart about it.
You have to be smart about it. You have to be smart about it. It's good and bad. It's good in that you have your life. You know, you don't feel like as under the
microscope.
Yeah. But the other side of that though is people have like a familiarity with you now. Without the respect factor.
Oh.
So that can get out of hand sometimes. You know, when somebody's sticking a phone up under the bathroom stall to take a picture picture of you, you know, it's like, you know, or no matter how you look, you know, you're just coming from the gym all sweaty and disgusting, and somebody's like, let me take a selfie.
Yeah, yeah. God would not approve.
God would not approve.
Kim, where's home for you?
Home is Los Angeles.
Okay.
I'm from New York, but home has been Los Angeles for many years.
So you're going to be here for a little while.
Yes.
The show runs through October 13th. Mm-hmm. Have you spent time in Philadelphia before?
No, I'm really excited about it. Okay. I haven't. I don't know how that happened, that I grew up on the East Coast and never got to Philly.
Okay.
But it did, and as soon as the show opens, I'll have time during the day to, like, cruise and check out, and
good.
I can't wait.
Good. Well, enjoy while you're here.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
And I want to send people to the show. So once again, it starts September 17th. There's 28 performances, so you got a chance to get out there and get yourself tickets and go to the Bristol Riverside Theater and check out the show. It is called An Act of God. It's really great to meet you, Kim.
Thank you. Great meeting you guys, too.
Enjoy your time while you're here. Kim Wayans, everybody. Yay! We'll take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Wait, turn up the sound.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
MMR rocks, Aerosmith, The Other Side, in the thes. We're in the T-H-E-O portion of the back to school.
Theo!
A to Z. Theo. We have that. In fact, that is our last one. We head on to the P's next, and we have a nice chunky tune that we're going to get to next.
The song is called Theo.
About your son, right?
About my boy.
Yeah.
Screwed up.
Yeah. So anyhow, hopefully you're enjoying the back to school A to Z. We got another, Chuck estimates another day and a half or so left of it. Let's see how we're doing. A final look at traffic. What's up, Kathy?
We still have delays on the Schuylkill Expressway westbound, University to the Vine, the Boulevard out to Belmont slow, the Blue Route to Gulf Mills eastbound side, the Blue Route into Belmont is still heavy from the Boulevard to the Vine Expressway. Blue Route northbound jams McDade Boulevard, Route 1 southbound from Route 1 to Media, 95 southbound heavy from Bridge Street through to Girard, 202 southbound at Skiles Boulevard, an accident in the right lane. And then in New Jersey, we've got a number of things happening here. We'll start in Cherry Hill, 295 southbound at 168 road construction in the left lane. They're out there until 3:30. New Jersey Turnpike northbound at 195 exit 7A in the inner drive. The left lane is closed. Also on the southbound side, we've got the off-ramp closed because of an overturned tractor trailer. Actually, it looks like one lane has reopened now. So the left lane is closed. 55 northbound jams Deptford to the 42 freeway. 42 has cleared out. Coming over the Ben Franklin Bridge, you're okay. The Walt Whitman Bridge westbound at the Toll Plaza, we've got right lane construction. This traffic report brought to you by... It's brought to you by... What time is it? This is the last one.
Nine.
Hold on, hold on. It's brought to you.
Spit it out!
Listen, it's codes. I have to follow the code to get the sponsor right now.
Okay.
But it is brought to you by the Valley Forge Casino Resort. Enter to win a new 2019 Acura this September. Play your favorite slot machine or table game to earn entries. On September 27th, you can walk away with the keys. Valley Forge Casino, where the house is yours. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
Last one you have to deal
so
with.
So here,
day,
for instance, Valley Forge Casino, the code that I have to decipher is BYDG.
Okay.
So, and it changes, like, you're alerted to which one you're supposed to read, like, just before the...
Well, no, here's the problem, is I can't get into the site. The site is down, so I have to go by the printed version, and I think the last time I did this was probably 5 years ago.
That sucks.
So I'm just a little rusty.
Gotcha. All right.
Well, you can hardly tell.
Not at all.
Shut up.
Seamless. All right, I got some V-file stories. Let's get those out in the open.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And this morning it is brought to you by BHCU. Join your Delaware County Credit Union and Casey Boy this Thursday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at BHCU in Ridley Park. You can enjoy free food, drinks, and giveaways. Federally insured by NCUA. Casey's checking his schedule right now.
Well, I knew I was going to be there on Thursday. Just I didn't know I was going to be there for 4 hours.
11 a.m. to 3 p.m.
No, I will be there from noon to 2.
All right, noon to 2. All right, how about this? A 28-year-old man awaiting sentencing on an attempted murder charge tossed urine on a prosecutor inside a Florida courtroom. And there's another little detail you'll enjoy here. The attack happened Wednesday in Judge Susan Alspector's courtroom. Albert Narvarez is now also charged with battery for his attack on the state attorney, Andrew Newman. A sheriff's arrest report said urine went inside Newman's mouth and all over his clothing. The report didn't say what kind of container Narvarez used to store the urine in the courtroom.
Probably a Yeti.
Maybe. Yeah. Keep it nice and cold.
Right.
Narvarez charged at Newman, flung the urine at him, and yelled, "He told me to do it!" He didn't say who he was referring to. Or what he was supposed to do.
Or why he had his own piss.
The sentencing hearing was...
We assume it was his piss, right?
Was postponed. I would make that assumption.
Right.
Yeah. Who knows?
You know, a criminal mind might wait go with someone else's piss.
Wait for test results to come back. All right, I'm reporting this story simply because of the name. A man who claims to be the last remaining relative of Adolf Hitler has been convicted of pedophilia after kissing a 13-year-old girl.
Holding up the family tradition.
Romano Lucas Hitler.
Okay, of course.
Claims to be the only man alive bearing the name of the murderous Nazi leader and claims to be related to the Führer through Hitler's father, Alois, A-L-O-I-S. I'm not sure how you pronounce that. Romano says that Alois had a younger brother and that the grandson of the younger brother who fled the to Slovakia after the war was his dad.
So is Romano his first name?
It's his first name.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I was hoping there might be a Kathy connection here. Now that we know her dad slept with Janis Joplin.
Yeah.
What's to say mom didn't sleep with Hitler?
Oh, jeez. Your mom slept with Hitler?
Oh, dear God.
Your mustache tickles.
All right, but now the 69-year-old Hitler has been convicted of a sex attack on a child. Prosecutors took the case to court after a complaint by the girl's father. The angry dad said, I had put a garage up for sale, and Hitler answered the advertisement.
Yes, I'm very interested in your garage!
Why are you yelling?
But when he turned up, he didn't seem to have much interest in the garage, only in Ania, who is his daughter. He lured her to his flat with sweets, brought her clothes and plastic flowers, and even offered to marry her. The dad said when the daughter had told them that he had kissed her, they banned her from seeing her and filed a complaint with the police.
Oh, boy.
Hitler, however, defended himself.
Here he had the chance to turn around the whole reputation of the family.
Saying, well, I don't know about that. Saying he simply...
All right, maybe that was overstating it.
He simply enjoyed the company of the child, and that when he kissed her, it had simply been in the usual sort of greeting that was normal in Germany and was harmless. But that was rejected by the judge, who found that he had proven he had kissed a girl against her will on both the neck and cheek. Hitler will appeal the conviction, by the way.
Way to go, Hitler.
Two men in Calgary, here's a little lighter story for you. Settled a heated negotiation over the sale of a home on a quiet tree-lined street with a good old-fashioned hockey shootout.
Ah.
Yeah, real estate agent Daniel Wiener said that the owner of the semi-detached house and the buyer were just $3,000 apart on price.
Wiener.
Don't do the whole Wiener clip. Thank you. No one was budging. It was an old Canadian standoff. While talks near collapsing, homeowner Gavin Walsh said that he made a sarcastic comment to Wiener, his agent, about heading to the rink to break the impasse. He said, "I was surprised when the bidder came back and said," and I quote, "game on."
Oh.
He decided to do it.
That's awesome.
So the buyer, who asked not to be identified, actually used to play in the NHL. But Walsh himself, a goalie in a men's recreational league, said he wasn't intimidated by his opponent's NHL career. He said he's a fierce competitor with a great sport, and the guy could pick up a truck one-handed, he said. With an audience of 30 family and friends, Walsh and the bidder hit the ice at a local recreational center for a best-of-11 competition. And Walsh, the guy who did not play in the NHL, ended up besting the former professional player with 6 saves to 4 goals and ended up getting the credit. So
that's pretty wild.
They settled it that way.
Here's your next Disney inspirational movie.
Thought that was kind of fun. Let's see. What started out as a normal day of flying for a recreational pilot, Dylan Newell, soon turned into a strange and stinky situation after he found a skunk hiding in the rear of his plane.
Oh, man.
Late last month, he was taking lessons in his Cessna Bird Dog reconnaissance plane. Newell said he had just taken off and was beginning to travel to Martha's Vineyard to do some touch-and-go training when he noticed what smelled like a skunk in the cockpit. Well, at about 1,200 feet, he began to prepare for landing when the smell started to grow stronger. He said, "I couldn't imagine it was a skunk on the ground."
Is this your first time to the vineyard?
He gets tapped on the shoulder from behind.
It's beautiful.
He said, "At first I was rather confused.
I'm visiting the Kennedys."
As Newell got closer to the runway, the smell continued to intensify, so he radioed the tower of the airport and told him he suspected a skunk was stowed away aboard his plane. So when I told them that I thought there was a skunk on the plane, they got really a kick out of it. And after landing at the airport, he rushed to park his plane and made a speedy egress. He checked around the inside of the cockpit and in the cabin, but he couldn't find any sign of a skunk. All the while, the smell continued to intensify. After searching the plane, Newell went around to the tail cone and rapped on the metal. He said, "I started knocking and I heard some scampering."
Oh, man.
Which I thought was pretty strange. So he called the airport and told them about the skunk, at which point they offered to help him remove it. But listen to this. He said he didn't want to let the skunk out in the middle of a busy public airport. So he actually offered to fly back to Katama with the skunk on board. He said, "I hopped in the plane and flew back to the Katama airfield as fast as I could."
Man. Martha's Vineyard doesn't look like I remember it.
After landing in Katama, Newell slowly opened the canvas flap.
Kathmandu, is that what you said?
Rear of the plane that leads to the tail cone and watched as the skunk jumped out and ran off into a field.
The skunk goes back to his family. They're all like, "Daddy, where were you?"
Yeah.
You'd never believe it.
What are you doing up there? You doing some stunt flying or something?
The skunk had sprayed him.
It
could have blinded him.
It could have, yeah. And there you go. That's what I have in the B-file for you this morning. All right, let's take a break, but not before we give away some more passes for Kathy's big party. It's actually a full party with all of us, but Kathy is the star that night. It's our Zeta Eta Pi sorority party, and it is the Bitch Box get together. You get everything in that box, you and your guests. It's ladies only.
Highly coveted.
Yes, and so many great sponsors. So we will take three callers, starting with caller number 9 at 215-263-WMMR. So 9, 10, and 11, you will get to go. You get entry. You have to be at least 21 years of age, females only. And we're going to have a fashion show. We're going to have awesome giveaways. And
it's the best sorority events ever.
It's coming up on the 19th, by the way, and yeah, it will be at Harrah's Philadelphia. The prize sheet's right behind you, Casey.
Oh, yeah.
At Harrah's Philadelphia, 215-263-WMMR. Let's get you in the party. We'll come back in a second, and we got a really good song up next for our Back to School A to Z. Stay with us.
Like what you hear? You can see it, too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush on Xfinity On Demand.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now. Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so we're going to ask today's lesson question to see if you have indeed been paying attention this morning. And for the correct answer, we're going to give away tickets as MMR presents Collective Soul. And they're going to be playing at the Excite Center at Parks Casino on October 3rd.
It's a great room.
Good friends of the radio station and Pierre Robert in particular, and a great live band. So the question that we have for you this morning, it's more of a statement with a question. Okay. It says, congratulations on your marriage. It might end up in a what? 215-263-WMMR. According to Casey, it happens.
It does.
All right. So congratulations on your marriage. It might end up in a what? 215-263-WMMR. Do you know where you're listening? You should call, and we'll do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you by Gwynedd Mercy University, where you can make a difference and a living. Check out their evening open house on Tuesday, September 17th to learn more about their excellent academics, generous scholarships, and a deep commitment to service. Sign up today at gmercyu.edu. That's gmercyu.edu. What's up, Steve?
A big story. Hollywood Life magazine reporting that Lori Loughlin was spotted looking sad while walking with a yoga mat in Los Angeles. Now, experts say a look of sadness can be brought on by a general feeling of unhappiness or a recent physical pain like stubbing one's toe.
Yeah.
So that's that story.
Sad.
Kristen, yeah, it was the lead article. She looks sad. Kristen Stewart showing up to a press conference in Toronto for her new movie Seberg wearing a black blazer with nothing underneath. Stewart says she uses fashion to make statements. Statements like, hey, look at my cans.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And finally, Kanye West has purchased a 9,000-acre, $14 million ranch in Wyoming. Kanye explained the purchasing. His dream has always been to one day settle down and raise unicorns.
Ah. Alrighty, let's see if we can get an answer to the question. Congratulations on your marriage. It might end up in a what? 215-263-WMMR, the number. And it is John that we'll go to first. Hey, John.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, buddy. All right, so you got married. What would it may end up in?
Murder, suicide.
Yes! Yeah. Hang on, John. We're going to take care of you with a pair of tickets as MMR presents Collective Soul Thursday, October 3rd at the Excite Center at Parks Casino. And tickets are on sale now via parkscasino.com. 21 and over for the concert event. Let's get to music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Ira Tad, brought to you by Temple Football, battling Maryland on Saturday, September 14th, noon at Lincoln Financial Field. All kids in 8th grade and younger can score a touchdown on the field following the game as part of Parent-Child Touchdown Toss Day. And tickets are available at owlsticks.com. So we'll continue talking about Tool, as we were just a moment ago. Their long-awaited new LP, Fear Inoculum, has debuted at number one on the Billboard 200 album chart.
Wow.
The band's first effort in 13 years shifted approximately 270,000 equivalent album units in its first week of release, with 248,000 of those in traditional album sales. According to Billboard, those numbers are particularly impressive since Tool achieved them without the assistance of a concert, ticket, or album sale redemption offer, any sort of album pre-order, pre-sale access code promotion, or a single merchandise slash album bundle, all of which have become the norm for most major albums in recent years as artists struggle to sell albums through more old-fashioned or traditional methods.
So they just bought them old school.
Yeah, they did. And according to anecdotal reports, buyers have now started reselling the physical limited edition online at exorbitant prices, with the $39 package going for prices in the $95 to $100 range. Tool has announced a smaller second pressing of the limited edition coming out. So they're on fire.
Yes.
They're doing amazing.
It is Tool time.
Mm-hmm. Korn has announced a groundbreaking dramatization anthology podcast series called The Nothing, written and created by Adam Mason and Simon Boy is with Korn. I think I know what's coming.
Yeah, it's got to, or I will be thoroughly sad.
The official visualizer for the band's new song, Can You Hear Me?
You're not crushed. I'm not in that crushed.
It never fails to work.
Doubles as a trailer.
It's like a child's laugh.
You know what? Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to laugh at it.
Yeah.
The band's new song. Not only can Kathy not laugh at it, she's drinking. Well, she's drinking.
Yeah.
Water
I couldn't. Yeah.
While that was playing, I couldn't do that.
It's too much of the joy of life.
It doubles as a trailer for the upcoming podcast series and can be seen online. The podcast shares the same title as Korn's new studio album, which arrives on Friday. The Nothing is a 6-part dramatized.
We've been a dramatized. Yeah.
Series. That tells the story of journalist Matt Singer, who travels to the small town of Weldon, Kansas, to investigate the mysterious disappearance of a teenage girl. He soon discovers that not everything is as it seems in the rural community. Additional information on the podcast, including air dates, will be announced in the coming weeks.
This sounds like a video game I played once a couple of years ago.
Yeah?
Yes. Okay. I forget the name of it, but it's very similar.
All right. Muse will celebrate the 20th anniversary of its debut LP, Showbiz, with a mammoth box set that it collects the band's first two albums, along with their early EPs, demos, live recordings, and B-sides from the era.
And a pound cake.
Well, that's a bonus.
Yeah.
The 9-CD, 4-LP set titled Origin of Muse is due out on December 6th and features remastered editions of 1999's Showbiz, 2001's Origin of Symmetry, plus the Muse and Musical Muscle Museum.
The hell is
EPs
that?
EPs and a large assemblage of demos, many of which are unreleased. So you get a bunch of stuff with that.
When you're talking about these packages, like the Tool package had the little the video that played.
Yeah. It so came with a viewer.
Yeah.
To Linda Bennington, the widow of late Linkin Park singer, Chester Bennington, has formally announced that she is now engaged and will be getting married to a man named Michael F., who is reportedly a Los Angeles firefighter. To Linda wrote on Twitter, "I'm overjoyed to announce my engagement to my angel on earth, Michael F., and I'm here to tell you that you can find love after tragedy, that a death of a soul..." I guess it continues on. They put a period there. That a death of a soulmate does not mean the death of you. My family, friends, and my Linkin Park brothers welcome him to the family with open arms.
Is it Michael F., or are you just saying F because it's the full word?
No, it's not. No. They just give an initial. That's it. So
okay, I didn't know.
To Linda.
So you're being radio sensitive.
Odd choice. To Linda added, "I will continue to honor Chester and continue my life's mission to make his passing not in vain. To all suicide loss survivors, you can be happy again. You can have space in your heart for grief, joy, happiness, sadness, and love. Thank you all for your continued love and support." Since Chester took his own life in July 20th, 2017, the age of 41, Talinda has honored her late husband's life. She co-founded 320 Changes Direction, which strives to promote mental well-being and increase awareness and prevention of suicide. I actually had a cool little moment this weekend. I'm going to have to pull up my phone here to get this out. But my son, Carter, and I, we went to a park and went for a bike ride over the weekend. We were at, hold on a second, we were at Peace Valley Park. Beautiful,
yeah.
Beautiful park. And we found this little crocheted heart. It was hanging on a post. And it's part of the Peyton Heart Project, which I'd never heard of before. And it had a little note that said, "Take me, you are a beautiful, you are a burst of beautiful." And it had the Peyton Heart Project on it. And on the back, it said, "It's yours. Please take a photo of it." And then hashtag Peyton Heart Project, which I did. And I went and looked it up. And it's essentially a suicide prevention initiative. And it was about this kid, Peyton, who took his own life. He was bullied. And it was a terrible, horrible story. And it was just the sweetest thing. And we it really made my day finding this thing. So,
well, mission accomplished then. Yeah.
Totally. So I posted on social media. We still have the heart. We're going to go put it somewhere else for somebody else to find. So, you know, along this story with Talinda and the suicide prevention efforts, I just thought that was a really, really nice thing.
That is nice. Yeah.
So it was just kind of a nice little bonus over the weekend. Let me see. One last thing. A new song from Greta Van Fleet titled Always There has now surfaced online. The new track was originally recorded for inclusion on the band's 2018 debut album, Anthem of the Peaceful Army. But it was ultimately decided that it didn't fit the tone of the album. The song has now found a home on the soundtrack of the movie A Million Little Pieces, which is based on the best-selling 2003 novel and will open in U.S. theaters this December. Sorry, dude. I got a tickle in my throat. That Million Little Pieces. That dude made that story up, right? You remember he said it was about him?
Yes.
The author?
Yeah.
And it ended up being a total lie.
But
I guess they're making a movie out of it now. Is that the same one?
I think it was.
On Oprah and everything?
Oh, yeah. Yes, that's right. No, I'm thinking of a different one. Okay.
Interesting. Okay. Well, anyhow, Greta Van Fleet has a song that's going to be.
These guys look so young. We're looking at a picture of the band.
I know. Yep. All right, and there you go. It's the music news for you. Hey, by the way, we do have a Daily Rush video up of Dinosaur Pileup playing the song Backfoot, if you'd like to see that. And you can watch it now at PresidentSteve.com, sponsored by Punchline Philly Comedy Club, Restaurant, and Bar. That is available.
Did you see we got dinged on YouTube for a front fart?
Yeah, I did. That's old, right?
It's an old one.
Really old.
Yeah. But apparently that was...
Were we blowing out candles with that? So there was a chick who was trying to blow out candles in our prod studio with a queef.
Yeah, but we didn't take video of that.
No.
Well, we did.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. But she wasn't. She was doing it through sheer.
Yeah, she had her clothes on.
Yeah.
I mean,
we're not animals.
Yeah.
It was, and I don't remember what that video was all about. I don't remember if it was a Daily Rush video and we were just joking about
it. Just chronicling whatever. Anyhow,
yeah, they took the video off. Was that YouTube? Yeah, it was YouTube.
Yeah, and it's at least a decade old at this point. And sadly, because they removed it from YouTube, we can't even go back to see what it was.
Yeah, that's too bad.
And that's our art.
Yeah, front fart is our art.
Front fart is art.
I like that.
Front art.
You know what? It's also Free Music Monday, and I have a chance to put in a copy of Soundgarden's Live from the Artist's Den. Your choice of a 2-CD set or 4-LP vinyl set.
Huh.
You get to pick. Caller number 25, 215-263-WMMR. We're going to set you up. This concert release features over 2.5 hours of live Soundgarden from their 2013 show at the Wiltern in Los Angeles, which is out now from Universal Music. So give us a call, and we'll see if you can get that. We're going to take a break, be back ready to wrap it up. Don't miss it. We'll return shortly.
93.3 WMMR proudly supports the inaugural Market Street Run for Blue, presented by Wawa, Sunday, October 27th. The event benefits the Philadelphia Police Foundation with a run through historic Old City to 30th Street Station and back for a post-run festival at Penn's Landing featuring food and beverages courtesy of Wawa, awards for top finishers in multiple age groups, and fun for the whole family. Click events at WMMR.com for all the details and to get signed up. Sunday, October 27th. It's the Market Street Run for Blue, presented by Wawa. 93.3 WMMR is putting Philly first.
You know what? I'm gonna introduce our up next gentleman who's in for the Duke. Pierre Robert is out this week. Brent Porsche is here.
Hey. Good morning, everybody.
And one of the reasons I want to bring you on now, Brent, before I do the thank yous to guests and stuff like that, is, Casey, where did we get this?
Marissa sent it over. It was a tweet that we received.
Okay.
I believe this morning.
Concerning the Back School A to Z, and I know that Brent is a huge music fan, so I'll enlist everyone's input here. It says, hey, I'm writing a vampire story. And I heard a song during the A to Z that I want to put in my story, but I can't identify it. It was in the O or P's, and it sounds like the guy is saying Monstep Gurrido, and the rhythm is like do-do-do-doot-do. Anybody?
Wow.
Come on, guys. Monstep Gurrido. Do-do-do-do-do-do.
No? That does not ring the slightest bit of a bell to me at all.
Is that Monstep Doo-Doo?
Monstep G-U-I-R-D-O. Mm-hmm. Gurrido.
Okay, Gurrido. So it takes place within the Star Wars universe.
Monstep Gurrido, and the rhythm is like...
Monstep Gurrido.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
All right, how about this one? Monstep Gurrido. Do-do-do-do-do-do.
What?
Is that? That's not it?
No.
All right.
Once. No, that's the other one.
What's that?
That's Once Bitten, Twice Shy.
I'm on step and Gurrido. But it was in the O's or P's.
How about the needle and the Gurrido done?
Maybe that was it. Gurrido. G-U-I-R-D.
That's a tough one. Nothing is coming to mind.
And writing out a rhythm.
Yeah.
Do-do-do-do-do means nothing to me. That's it.
Make sure you sing it into the paper.
Yeah, please, sing it into the paper. Melody and rhythm is difficult to describe using print. You need to be able to
Mas
sing.
Tequila?
Mas Tequila? No, it was the O's or P's.
Oh.
So it wouldn't have started with it. Let's see. We have Don't Pass Burritos. Okay.
No.
Don't Pass Burritos.
One Step Beyond.
One Step Beyond.
One Step Beyond.
That's by the Madness.
Yes.
That's by Madness. That could have been One Step Beyond.
That actually might be something that he's thinking of.
I heard that song over the weekend during the A to Z.
Hey, don't watch that. Watch this. This is the heavy, heavy monster sound. One Step Beyond.
This is a great song.
One Step.
Oh, yeah, listen. That sounds like a vampire type of thing.
It is.
Yeah.
I think this is it.
Yeah, this would be, it's got a little scary movie type of sound to it.
Exactly. He nailed it.
Monstep Gurrido. Somebody says it might be Possum Kingdom. No.
Oh, it's this.
Or Possum Gurrido.
Right. Let's get to the words. There's no words on it.
There's no words on this.
Here, they said, okay, here's some. A texter says it's that song about Kathy's slutty friend.
yeah.
Did you ever hear back from her?
No go.
No go? She said, don't mention her?
No.
You should have seen.
She's not slutty.
You should have seen how many texts came in when you mentioned that of guys that wanted to meet her. Oh, my God. It was hilarious.
I'll somehow get the story in. Okay. I just won't tell you it's her I'm talking about.
One Step Beyond. I think we've nice work, people.
Hey, yeah.
Good. Well done.
One Step Gurrido.
Yeah. All right. Thank you to Kim Wayans for being on the show this morning. Woo. An Act of God is her show at the Bristol Riverside Theater, and it opens September 17th through October 13th. You can get tickets at brstage.org. She's very lovely. It was nice to have her by this morning. So, Brent, we should do the letter.
Let's do it.
All right, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, and the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
By the letter P is in Pantera.
There it is. And we have a pair of tickets for both local Tool shows coming up at the Wells Fargo Center November 18th. And that show is sold out. And the Boardwalk Hall in Atlantic City on Friday, November 22nd. Limited amount of tickets remain for that particular show. So we'll give that away on Friday. How are you doing, by the way?
I'm doing great.
Did you go to the Zac Brown concerts over the weekend?
No, I wasn't. I have seen Zac Brown before. They're fantastic live. Yeah. Actually, I was talking to Chuck off air. I saw them when they were an opener. They were the first band on a three-band bill with Dierks Bentley and Brad Paisley, and they were amazing.
Chuck
amazing.
Is suggesting that they're really a lot more rock.
They're in kind of a league or a genre of their own. They kind of go across the board there as far as all the different genres are concerned.
Yeah, my wife said on Friday night they closed the show with four rock song covers. And then even in the earlier set had done like Sabotage from the Beastie Boys.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
I love it. Excellent. So what you got coming up today, man?
Yeah, today on the program, some cool gifts to give away. Free Music Monday, the Soundgarden Live from the Artist Den, your choice of either 2-CD set or 4-LP set, which is super cool. Shinedown tickets with Papa Roach and Asking Alexandria, that's for the Hard Rock next weekend. Also, Robert Plant and Nathaniel Rateliff tickets for The Man, which is also next week. And, of course, our Back to School A to Z.
Wonderful. Thank you, Brent Porsche. You are in good hands. Case, what's coming up tomorrow? Well, you know what? Let me thank our sponsors.
Yeah,
Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And the Preston and Steve Show runs on a Dunkin'. Also brought to you by Winter Airport Parking, fastest way in and out of Philly International Airport. Armor, metals, and recycling for all of your metal and computer recycling needs. And, of course, photography, the official photographers of the Preston and Steve Show. We have a Tattoos Day on tap for tomorrow. We have more passes to the Bitch Box Party, which we have coming up on the 19th, and several other things that we can give to you. So that's it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow morning, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
I'd like to wish Plymouth Township a happy anniversary for the closure of Butler Pike. You're killing my commute, dude. Next message.
Yo, you guys are not the best at what you do. You guys are the only ones that do what you do. What other radio station in the country is playing pool? Oh, my God, I'm so high. I shook the ball for every song. I don't even know what the song is right now. Abubar Rock.
Next message.
People who like it when it's in the high 90s weather-wise obviously work in climate control. For the people who work outside, it sucks. It needs to cool the off.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.